Toso, Miro, Raul Duffy, Maurice Utrillo, Camille Pizarro, Louis Eichardt, H. Behrens, Tarkay, H. Claude, and Polamil Pizarro, Anne Duvernac, Chimo, Mario Sever, and more. Original bronze sculptures by Angelo Basso and Erte. Pencil signed Picasso, Chagall, Miro, Dali, and others. Over 200 Armani, Yadro, Hummel, and Satini figurines. Over 200 lots of fine jewelry. Large certified diamond solitaires, 2 to 9 carats. Rolex Presidentials, Cartier, Patek Philippe, Piaget, and others. Masterpiece handmade rugs, Tabriz, Isfahan, Hermann, Aris, and more. All to be offered at auction this Saturday, May 15th in the Naples Beach Hotel and Golf Club. Preview at noon. Starts at 1 p.m. Most items sold with no minimum and no reserve. For information, 1-800-738-6790.
Hi, this is Jerry Peterson from Character First. My family would like to invite your family to join us each month to learn practical ways to apply specific character qualities. You'll enjoy songs, nature stories, object lessons, and crafts while building foundations for success in life. This is a character class for the entire family. For more information, visit www.characterpitch.com.
Which oak grows well beside a river or stream? And what's a great tree to plant on a dry hillside? At the National Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org, you'll find out what tree to plant where. See how trees can add value to your home and cut your energy costs. Go to arborday.org for whatever you need to know about trees.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
That's arborday.org.
You want talk? You got it 24-7. From Clark Howard to Bill O'Reilly, this is Power Talk 1200.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon from the blue waters and sandy beaches of Fort Myers, Florida. This is the Guy James Show. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to talk about, as always, and we'll get to it in just a minute or two. You know you can call us. 888-602-7500. That's 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And, of course, locally, you can call us at 479-5540. Okay, got all those numbers? Good. Yes, we're ready for a high-energy show today. So much to talk about. My God, everything that happened this week, unbelievable, the amount of news that's going on. Hey, what about Bush's poll numbers? What do you think? What do you think? We were talking before the show today. I think had the poll numbers been differently, maybe back during the Democratic primary or right before the Democratic primary, I think it would have changed the dynamics of the whole thing. We might have had maybe Hillary Clinton running. It just might have changed the whole thing, but we're where we're at now, and we're going to live with it. And, of course, Bush is going to live with it. And his numbers seem to live and die with the pace of the war, how it's going. So I don't know. It's not going all that well. Obviously, it's not going all that well. In fact, I don't know anything that is going well about it. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to talk to we're not going to talk to anybody about it. We're going to talk about General Anthony Zinni's speech he gave out in L.A. the other day. A most interesting speech. Most interesting speech. And Anthony Zinni had all the confidence in the world of the Bush administration when he was in the service. And when they didn't agree with what he had to say, why, that was kind of it for him. He lost his influence with the Bush administration. But as it turns out, they should have kept General Zinni around and listened to him, because he's about the only one that, well, maybe not the only one, but he's one that had great insight into how things would be there now. And they should have listened to him. And how about everything that went on in Congress this week with these pictures being shown? How many of you saw, oh, all the controversy? And here we are again, split. I don't know how this could happen. We're all human beings. Seemed like half the people in the Senate thought the pictures were horrible, and the other half thought, well, they're not so bad. Maybe it wasn't quite half and half, but many, many of the Republicans thought, eh, you know, it wasn't bad. They took the Rush Limbaugh fraternity prank route. And how about Imhoff? How about Senator Imhoff from Oklahoma? Is that guy a pea brain or what? I hate to say that about a United States senator. You usually have to have some modicum of intelligence to make your way into the United States Senate. But, God, is that guy, is he weird or what? I remember back during the Oklahoma City bombing, to the federal building bombing back there, he made a statement on that particular day. Well, we don't know how many are dead. We have to see how many were playing hooky first. That was his first statement right out of the box about the bombing in Oklahoma City. So that tells you what kind of a brain that man's got and where his brain goes. But he was outraged by the outrage. I know y'all saw that quote this week. I'm outraged by the outrage. Tell you what, Senator, I'm outraged by your outrage over the outrage. All right, so I got one more outrage than you do. When you hear a guy like this talk, you really have to wonder how the hell he got elected. You really do. How could people really be foolish enough to send a guy like him to Washington? I mean, there's others, don't get me wrong. I'm not picking on Oklahoma. What about Pennsylvanians who send Rick Santorum to Washington? Ooh, that guy scares me. What are they, putting mind-altering drugs in the water so that the voters would elect someone who fights against the people on almost every vote? And while I'm at it, how about the electorate of the state of Georgia looking past the dirty deeds of Saxby Chambliss, his attack on Max Cleland? How can you... look at an ad attacking a fine, patriotic man like Cleland, comparing him to Osama bin Laden, and just ignore the evil intent of the people who produced and paid for the ad. How can you say, gee, I'll vote for this guy? I mean, how can you do that? Do the people not think about such things? I mean, I do. Are the voters that simple-minded? Are the voters in the red states just plain stupid? I mean, sorry for being so blunt, but I do wonder things like that, don't you? I mean, I know the two parties have significant differences in ideology, but what could cause a voter to cast his ballot for someone who's so desperate to gain power that he or she will resort to such tactics as Bush used against John McCain in South Carolina, or the dirty, underhanded attacks of Chambliss in Georgia? How could you be that desperate to do that? How could you look at the antics of a man like Tom DeLay day after day and deem him worthy of holding public office? Any public office. I don't care if it's dog catcher. He's not good enough to hold that office. Just how can a guy like DeLay convince voters to support him after issuing a statement? You remember his famous statement. I couldn't get into the National Guard because all the spots had been taken by the blacks and none was left for me. Yeah, Tom DeLay said that. How do you vote for a guy like that? It doesn't matter how you feel about military service or if you served yourself. How could you trust a guy who thinks the voters are so stupid as to believe a story like that? Yes, he thinks you are that stupid. And how can voters allow their intelligence to be insulted by a guy like DeLay and still send him to Washington? Believe me, it's beyond me. It is. And to be sure, there are Democrats. I'm going to be fair here. There are Democrats who have acted similarly. How about Zell Miller of Georgia? Says he's a Democrat, but he votes with the Republicans every chance he gets. He's about as much of a Democrat as Richard Nixon was. How could he misrepresent himself the way he does and still have the trust of the voters? I mean, he says he's a Democrat, and the voters know damn well he's not a Democrat. Yet they vote for him anyway. How can Joe Lieberman, forgive me all you Lieberman fans, but I'll just tell it the way I see it, how can Joe Lieberman call himself a Democrat lately? I have to wonder. All this kind of proves a point, doesn't it? I mean, most of the voters just don't give a damn. I know you and I do. We talk about politics every week. But most of the people don't give a damn. They don't take the time to dig for information and separate the wheat from the chaff. That's what this program's all about. You know, those folks that don't care, they listen to Fox News or Limbaugh or Hannity or Neil Bortz or O'Reilly, Laura Ingraham, the whole Mike Savage, the whole host of them. They listen to people like that to find out who to vote for. They trust news outlets like Newsmax to give them truthful reporting. Of course, the people who really care wouldn't think of getting their news that way. But how many people really care? You know, I received a lot of angry emails last week as a result of me saying that my audience was, if my audience was as stupid as Limbaugh's and Hannity's and some of the other right-wing talk show host audience, I'd quit doing the show. I meant that. The difference in correspondence between my listeners from the left and the right is really, it's really astonishing. It sometimes makes me wonder if some of the listeners from the right are confined in mental institutions. When they write some of the stuff I get, you should see it. I keep expecting some of this stuff to be written in crayon. You know, they're often so misinformed as to make me wonder if we're sharing the same planet. This week, for example, I got some emails from a half dozen or so listeners from the right explaining to me that I was totally wrong about our military not finding any weapons of mass destruction. They sent me articles from some obscure conspiracy theory type website proclaiming that weapons of mass destruction had been found and everything Colin Powell had declared in his famous speech before the UN had been found. We'd found all that stuff. And therefore, Junior Bush has been right all along. Never mind that Bush and Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice have all admitted that they not found any weapons of mass destruction. I mean, their own people don't even believe them. So, you know, I guess my point is that most of these right-wingers don't deal with reality. Rather than deal in what they would, they deal in what they'd like to see happen. Kind of like the Bush administration did when they invaded Iraq and told everybody who'd listen that the Iraqis would greet us as liberators with flowers and joy and dancing in the street. You remember that? That's what they would have liked to have seen happen. Wishful thinking that we'd turn the Iraqi government over to the Iraqis on June 30th and all would be well. Wishful thinking that if we sent only half the number of troops needed to conquer and occupy Iraq, it would be just fine. Wishful thinking that Iraq's oil, remember this, would pay for the reconstruction of that country? Yeah, right. Has any previous administration ever been so out of touch with reality? Think about it. Have the supporters of any administration ever been so blindly supportive as the group backing this White House gang? No matter what the consequences of Bush's frequently idiotic actions, his followers say, that's our man, that's our president that God sent us, isn't he just great? Never mind that the whole Iraqi situation is a total disaster. Never mind the thousands of people who have died in this debacle. Never mind that our status around the world has sunk to an all-time low. Never mind that he's buried us in endless debt. Never mind all of that. They say, he's our guy. And we'll vote for him again just to show you people on the left that we, well, just to show you, that's all. That's their logic. That's what I meant when I said if my audience was as stupid as Limbaugh's, Hannity's, Bortz's, O'Reilly, and the Fox News followers that I'd quit doing this. Evidently, those guys don't mind broadcasting to a bunch of mindless sheep. But I would. That's the difference between them and me. Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. You're listening to The Guy James Show. Call us. We'll be right back.
The Guy James Show. Democrats, unite. This is the year and now is the time. Your voice must be heard in Southwest Florida. Join hundreds of other concerned American patriots as we combine our energies, our talents, and our resources to announce to all of Southwest Florida that our presence will no longer be ignored, our voices no longer denied. Our party needs us now. Our country needs us now. The Collier County Democratic Club is leading the way, rising on the tide of determination. Join us at our exciting monthly meetings and learn what you can do to make a difference. Call the Democratic Hotline today at area code 239-434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. Again, call 434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. This is the year, and now is the time. The time to start thinking about tomorrow. The time to start thinking about joining the Collier County Democratic Club. This has been a paid political advertisement, approved and paid for by the Collier County Democratic Club, Bill McMahon, Treasurer.
Years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly
head. Okay, that's right. Your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
From Joey Reynolds to Matt Drudge, Power Talk 1200 is your weekend choice for Power Talk. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, yeah, back with you. I tell you, I just noticed something funny. We have the Democratic Underground Forum on during the show here, and as I can, it's busy here in the studio. I have my laptop here, and I have the screen with the callers on one side, and I have the commercial thing on one side, and I've got a computer screen on the other. Anyway, as I can, I try and keep up with what goes on there, and I don't always, but there's a thread started on the www.democraticunderground.com website, a great site, by the way, and they're having a fundraiser, and you get on there and throw them some money so they can keep it going. Anyway, I try and monitor that, and one of our show friends, as I was talking earlier about some of these Republican senators that run for office, he says, hell, all you need is a clean suit. That's from Jeff. Hey, Jeff, that's pretty good. All you need is a clean suit to run, and they'll elect you. And he was speaking about Imhoff and Santorum and Frist and Specter and Hutchison and Miller and Shambliss and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Good line, good line. Hey, we're going to go to George in Lehigh. George, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy, this is not a partisan call, okay? Because something has kind of upset me, all right?
All right.
And help me out here historically, okay? In 2000, the Reform Party had a battle between basically the Jesse Ventura faction versus the Pat Buchanan faction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me if I'm wrong, okay? The Pat Buchanan faction won control of the Reform Party, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Reform Party has endorsed Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think this same Reform Party as the Ross Perot Reform Party.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it is the same party, but evidently they've got different ideals than they used to have, different ideas about what a candidate ought to be, because there's night and day difference between a guy like Nader and Ross Perot.
Well, and also differences between Nader, Perot, Ventura, and Pat Buchanan, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, one other thing, just to help me try to explain what my concern is. I don't remember whether it was firsthand or secondhand, but Ventura, Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, had made some statement that Pat Buchanan was basically using the Reform Party funds to help pay off his debts that he had accumulated during his presidential run.
I didn't know that. Wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
But I find it interesting that Nader's come over there, and you know why Nader's come to the Reform Party is because Nader on his own has not been able to get on any ballots around the country, and he knows that the Reform Party, like in Florida for example, all they got to do is technically hold a convention and they can nominate, you know, they can get on the ballot, and they had one like on the phone, they had like a conference call, and that qualifies. But Nader, I for some reason the figure of seven states sticks in my mind that the Reform Party is going to be on the ballot, and that seems to be
I heard eight.
Well, that seems to be the reason Nader came over there.
Okay, well, but here's my point. Okay, again, being nonpartisan about the whole thing, if Pat Buchanan's faction is controlling the Reform Party, does that not mean that perhaps their endorsement of Nader is merely an attempt to swing some of the liberal voters away from Kerry and help George W.
Well, that would seem to be Buchanan's stance. I don't know if he has endorsed Nader. Has he endorsed Nader? Not that I've heard.
No, I'm not talking about the notion of Buchanan endorsing Nader. I'm talking about the notion that if Buchanan has control over the Reform Party.
Well, he must not, or Ralph Nader wouldn't be on the ballot on the Reform Party. I don't think. I he must not have it. Or I mean, that's oil and water right there. Buchanan and Ralph Nader, they certainly don't mix.
Well, but I just think there's some slippery things going on in terms of, again, assuming that the Buchanan people have control over the Reform Party, they would endorse Nader for no other reason than to split up the liberal vote.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to work this time. First of all, if they only get on the ballot in seven or eight states,
seven or eight states, that
well,
helps.
That's true, but it has to be the right seven or eight states, and you know, I think people are going to be a little more conscientious this time. You know, and I don't want to insult somebody that's voting their conscience, but everybody knows, whether they want to admit it or not, that Ralph Nader, having his hat in the ring last time, did a lot of damage to Al Gore's campaign. There's no question about it. It did. I mean, right here in Florida. Florida would have swung the deal. That is if the Supreme Court would have even let it get through. Who knows? But it's... you know, Nader swears he's against Bush, but is he against Bush to the extent that he would go against the Democrats on it? I don't know. Hey, George, thanks for your call.
One more time, okay?
All right.
Who's in charge of the Reform Party?
I have no idea.
And that's why I'm kind of questioning the notion that, if I'm assuming correctly, that the Buchanan faction is in charge of the Reform Party.
Well, I don't think they are. They can't be. Or Ralph Nader wouldn't be Ralph Nader. I mean, Pat Buchanan is not, under any circumstances, in my opinion, going to align himself with Ralph Nader, either above board or under the table, either way.
Oh, no. It doesn't have to do with whether or not Buchanan likes Nader. It's the notion that if Buchanan has some control over the Reform Party, he's going to have his people endorse Nader for the simple reason that it will help draw votes against Kerry.
Well, I just don't think it's going to work this time. Hopefully, and thank you very much for your call, George. Hopefully this time around it's not going to be that close. In fact, the polls, I don't know how many of you saw the polls this week, but it's starting to look pretty good for Kerry. Starting to look real good for Kerry. And, of course, as you know, it depends on how the war goes. Seems like the war's going to be the issue. Diane in Fort Myers, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Guy, hi. They're cooking the numbers anyway on those polls. You can't go by them. I mean, you know, George Bush cooks everything. He cooks the stock market numbers, the unemployment numbers. You know, where do you get off on them polls? Same deal, just typical George. This with the $25 billion, though, that good old Rumsfeld had the audacity to ask the taxpayers to cough up again on at the Senate floor, or, well, with the senators last week on C-SPAN, I watched it. Not accounting for a dime of it where it's to go. They still have yet to account for any of the, you might as well say, $400 billion that we've already put in over there. You know, I mean, why aren't Americans outraged in this?
Well, they ought to be if they saw the true figures. Now,
these pirates are taking us to the cleaner.
So far, it's somewhere between $700 and $800 for every man, woman, and child in this country to pay for that war.
Yeah, and they said that that'll last for 5 months. Get this, people. I mean, you know, don't you budget your households out there, or are we all just stinking, rotten rich like they are? I mean, you know, I don't know why the American people aren't outraged. I can't understand. Do they like just handing billions of dollars over to someone without them having to account for a dime of it?
Well, evidently,
you know, when do we get so stupid?
Yeah, evidently they do, because we're not accounting for any of it. And there's massive waste over there.
Well, the Capitol's phone number is area code 202-224-3121. That's the main switchboard. It'll put you into any senator you want to talk to. And believe me, I call them all.
Hey, they need to be called. Thank
exactly.
you, Diane.
Bye, Guy. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, do call them. That's, believe it or not, there's one way to get to your senator. Now, it's not going to do you a lot of good as a Floridian to call, Hillary Clinton's office, because they listen to their constituency, their state constituency, because those are the people that vote them in and out of office. And believe me, after having been in the halls of Congress many times, and I think I have a pretty good understanding of what goes on there, when they get a flood of telephone calls, emails, letters, and all, and the whole ball of wax from their actual constituents, they listen. Because that's, we're their meal ticket. They can't, they get kicked out of that fabulous country club if we don't vote for them, and that's what it is. Make no mistake about it. You know what one of the things, this is going to sound strange to you, one of the nicest things in, like the Senate or the, well, the Hart office building, for example, or the Russell Senate office building, they've got... they're beautiful buildings, all these big offices, and every senator's got his office decorated up real nice, and they're big and huge and all that. In the restrooms there, they've got the nicest paper towels I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why I noticed that, but I was thinking, as I was washing my hands in the lavatory there in one of the congressional restrooms, that boy, these people live large here. I bet one of those paper towels costs as much as a whole roll of the normal ones you and I use. Call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We'd love to hear from you. And locally, of course, here at 479-5540. 479-5540. We hope you do give us a call and get in on the conversation here on the program. Hey, how is things? For all my Republican listeners, from all you folks out there who vote on the Republican side, how's your IRA doing right now? How's your 401k? How's your stock portfolio? How's your pension? How's your property taxes? How do you like the gas prices right now? How about if you live up north, your home heating oil prices, you just coming through the winter? How about your school taxes? How do you like that right now? How do you like your health care cost right now? How's your CDs doing at the bank? How about your Medicare? How many of you are really happy with that new Medicare discount card? You've learned by now how much that Medicare discount card is worth, haven't you? It's worth nothing. Nothing. You can get a better deal buying your medicine out there, and you have to pay for the privilege of getting that card. How do you like your profit-making HMO handling your Medicare? How's your state taxes doing? We don't have any state taxes here in Florida. We pay taxes, believe me, through the nose in other ways. How many businesses have closed up in your city? If you're better off after going through all that, if you're better off, you're probably one of those country club card-carrying Republicans with a lot of money. I'd like to thank Clarence Swinney for that list. He came up with all that. Yep, I'll tell you, I'm certainly not better off. I don't know about you. Going to Rob in Fort Myers. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing?
Great.
Good listening to your show, but I have to say one thing. Bush is not the worst president that we've ever had.
Really?
No, he runs a close second to Lincoln with his usurping of the Constitution, overrunning people's lives. It's just insane what's going on. And I'm a 12-year veteran in the military, 6 years in special ops, 3 times decorated. This is outrageous. There is no end to this. And the debacle, I listened to the other shows on your radio station, and I cannot believe the things the callers call in and say, because it's like they're totally lost to what's going on.
Well, I agree. And some of the things some of the show hosts are talking about right now just absolutely blows me away. But, I think they're getting pretty desperate. And I think I expect this shrill tone to get even a little more shrill as it goes on.
I don't know. I'm a historian as well, but Caesar crossed the Rubicon. Lincoln crossed the Rubicon, and Bush as well crossed the Rubicon.
Well,
which means he's went too far. We're each bully on the block sooner or later is going to get beat up, and I cannot believe that for $25 billion more dollars that we're going to give to this effort over there, that $25 billion could go to health care. Somebody needs to do something about the $2 gas prices, which are only going to escalate. Jobs in this area, as you know, in Southwest Florida, your actual pay is so minimal compared to what you do. I don't understand where everybody's priorities are. Is it to get an American flag, put it on your car, and say, God bless America, but nobody's really watching anything but Fox and CNN, and they believe all this stuff. That's why it's real good that you're out there, because we get to see a different side of it.
Well, they do seem to believe it, and that scares me. It does scare me when you get you. I mean, I'm not suggesting anybody get their news from me. I'm suggesting they listen and then go check out what we have to say, find out if we're credible or not, and I think you'll find that we are.
Yeah, but you know, it's just like I said, I'm a historian, and like I said, Lincoln, I think, was the worst. But,
why do you say that about Lincoln?
Well, it's not just about Lincoln. It's about our whole system. Our news from then was probably carried over to today, where it's revising history, where, everybody in this country at one time was taught that the war was about slavery, which we know today was wrong. It was about economics, right? This war over here, we started out weapons of mass destruction, then we jumped to get Saddam, and then it's to give them a democratic country. What if they don't want a democratic country? Jefferson said no foreign entanglements. I don't, there's worse atrocities to go on in this world than went on in Iraq. I can tell you, in Central Africa, with female mutilation, slave trade, everything like that still exists, but we don't go there because nobody gets a dollar out of it.
Right, right.
And, am I right or wrong?
Oh, you're right. Any place that we go in Africa, it's you better believe there's going to be some oil under the ground. We're at a couple of spots there now that we're have advisors and a few troops in, and of course there's oil under the ground. But
Well, let me ask you one more question, Guy. I like I said, I was in 12 years, And a turning point in my life, I spent 6 more years after that, but a turning point to me was when I watched within several months, the Chinese roll through Tiananmen Square and squash their people, and the United States said, please don't do that. That's not right. But then Kuwait gets invaded by Iraq, and we're right there. That's invading a sovereign country, and it's, you know, there are human rights problems and all that. It just doesn't all add up.
Well, compare the situation 90 miles off the shores we got right here at Cuba. We've had an embargo and been through several administrations, as you know, for, 40 years now, practically.
Right.
We've had an embargo against this little teeny tiny country over there kind of because they're communists. And here we are doing hundreds of billions of dollars of trade with the Chinese communists. Does that make any sense?
No, a lot of it doesn't make any sense. But I thank you for your time, Guy. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for listening to the program. It's true, is what he just said. For all my right-wing friends, which lie did you buy? I mean, which lie was it that suckered you in to buy in this war in Iraq? Which one was it? I mean, was it the imminent danger part? How about the liberation of the Iraqi people? Was that it? That sounds nice, doesn't it? Going to liberate the people? How about the war on terrorism? It had to be one of those. But when it comes down to it, none of those are the reason for Bush sending 130,000 of our young soldiers into harm's way. You got to know that by now, don't you? I mean, actually, the real reason was regime change. Regime change not for the liberation of the Iraqi people. Not so that we could avoid imminent danger. And it wasn't regime change so we could escape any weapons of mass destruction. No, actually, the real reason, it was regime change so that we could install a puppet government who would allow us to take control of Iraq and eventually the Middle East and the oil. Oil, that is. You know, they always say Texas tea, black gold. Why didn't they just tell us that? I got a feeling that all these hardcore righties would say, hey, that's okay with us. You know some of them would. Now, you know, it's the thing is, it'd be hard to get our young kids to fight a war for oil if they were convinced that's the reason. So let's convince them and the nation that we're doing it for a much more noble reason, liberation. Isn't that grand? Liberation. Free the people so they can have democracy. People will fight for that reason. And if you're young and you're in the military and your leader says you're fighting for freedom for the people of Iraq, you'll do it. You'll do it willingly. Or how about fighting to protect America from those terrible weapons of mass destruction? You know, it's not hard to get people to fight for that reason either. After all, who wants a mushroom cloud in their backyard? Fight against those weapons of mass destruction, yeah. That'll get people to fight. You know, the war on terror. That'll cause most red-blooded Americans to grab a gun and fight for the USA. Sure it will, and why not? If we're really being threatened with annihilation from nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons, who wouldn't fight like hell? But fight and die for oil? I don't think even the most patriotic military member would want to give his life for oil. So to get soldiers to fight and get to the public to back Bush's war, some teensy-weensy little lies had to be told. Think about some of them for a moment. If Bush were really afraid of being attacked with weapons of mass destruction, would he have bothered to try and get a resolution from the United Nations which would approve our attack on Iraq? Think about that for a moment. Do you remember how they scorned the UN and but still, and today, now that we're having to go on our knees and beg the UN to help out over there, but think of all the scorn they heaped upon the UN. And think of how they're saying now, all the hardcore right-wingers, saying, man, we got to, you know, we went there because of that resolution. No, they didn't. What are you kidding? It doesn't make sense, does it? Especially coming from an administration which has scorned the UN over and over and over again. And if liberation were the real reason, then I would ask you, since when has the United States government done anything for the Iraqi people out of just plain old concern for their welfare? Let me ask you that question. Before this war started, did you hear a hue and cry coming out of Washington, D.C., oh, my God, we got to do something to help the people of Iraq. Did you hear that? Did you hear one word of it? Think about the stupidity and the folly of this argument now that we did it to liberate the Iraqi people. I mean, you've all known about Saddam Hussein and his atrocities and what went on in his country and the Iran-Iraq war. You've all known about that for 20 years now. You've all known about Don Rumsfeld over there shaking his hand. You've seen that picture. You've all known about Ronald Reagan arming actually both sides in that war so they could slaughter each other. But did you hear a massive outcry in this country? Oh, God, let's go liberate those people. Hell no, you didn't hear that. You never would have. Never. I mean, are we to believe that these compassionate conservatives all of a sudden would say, oh, we love those people in Iraq so much. Those ones, by the way, that we're calling stupid savages now. We love them so much that we've got to go liberate them. We really care about them. Never mind we starved hundreds of thousands of them during this embargo. Never mind that we've killed thousands upon thousands of innocent civilians in this war. Never mind all that. All of a sudden we're supposed to, oh yes, we really care about the Iraqis. You know, did we show any concern for the Iraqi people when we urged them to rise up and fight against Saddam Hussein back during Gulf War, right after it, and then watch from the sidelines that he slaughtered them by the thousands? Don't give me any of that malarkey that they try and pass out now about the horrors of mass graves and all. You can lay the blame for thousands of the bodies in those mass graves right at the feet of George Herbert Walker Bush. Did we look out for the well-being of the Iraqi people when Bush 1 looked the other way with tacit approval while Saddam Hussein marched into Kuwait? Did we show any concern for the Iraqi people while rounding up thousands of them who are innocent and putting them into the same prison Saddam used? Is that showing concern for the Iraqi people? Does that prove we're there to liberate them? Not in my book. Moreover, where was the concern of the United States government when we helped install the Shah of Iran in power? He was every bit the dictator and tyrant as Saddam, but he was our friend. He would do what we wanted him to do. He was our puppet. It was all right if his secret police killed and tortured his people who disagreed with him because he was our friend. Did we show any concern for the Arab people when we armed both sides of the Iran-Iraq war? And they slaughtered hundreds of thousands of each other? Where was our concern for those wonderful people then? A dictator is only evil if he refuses to do the bidding of the United States government. That's how it is, folks. If he cooperates with us, he's okay. And in my opinion, it all boils down to that. Our official governmental policies in Iraq have been a disaster and have led to terrific suffering by the Iraqi people. And this war has done nothing to change that suffering. While the anger and resentment from the Iraqi people just gets worse and worse. Did you see the latest poll that 80% of the people in Iraq want us to get the hell out of their country? And that was before these pictures of the atrocities and the abuse came out? What do you think it is now? So, ultimately, our troops are being convinced that they're fighting to stop terrorism in Iraq, but the real story is that they're fighting and dying for the very things that produce terrorism. That's the real story. Let's have our war on terror. Let's defeat terrorism wherever it exists, but let's do it in a sane and responsible manner. We don't have to invade nations and cause the death of thousands of people to do it. It's time we had a government with a sane policy toward the Middle East. It's a certainty that the present administration is incapable of understanding or handling the problems in that area of the world. They have no understanding of that whatsoever. Going to Don on a cell phone. Don, welcome to the program.
Just a question. I heard you say a little while ago that one of the reasons you feel that the United States went to war with Iraq was for the oil. And my question to you is, then, if the United States is going to benefit from the oil of Iraq, how come our oil prices are so high? And I don't see where, in any way, the United States has benefited from oil that we may have used or achieved or stolen or whatever you say from our... I just would like you to explain that to me.
In my opinion, it's not oil for the masses of the people of the United States. It's not grabbing oil so that you and I will have a cheaper tank of gas. is grabbing oil so that the conglomerates that own the oil companies will end up richer than they are, with more control than they have. You know, it's a dwindling resource. And, you know, the more of it that you have under the ground, under your control, the more powerful and wealthier you're going to be. As far as being noble and going over there and saying, oh, gee, we're going to get oil for the American people, hell no. I wouldn't give them credit for being that noble. I really wouldn't. That's my thoughts on it. Thanks for the call, Don. I do appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Gone to Juan in Fort Myers. Juan, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I have, you know, you were talking earlier about Cuba. And, oh, boy, that's a sore spot with me because I'm a Cuban-American, and I wanted to bring something up regarding the resolution that, you know, when Bush decided to go to Iraq, he said that they were going to unilaterally enforce a resolution that the U.N. didn't have the guts to enforce. Well, how about for 8 years, I guess, the U.N. had the resolution to, you know, get mean with Iraq if they don't carry on what the U.N. tell them. However, they don't. Why doesn't he enforce, or actually, the U.N. has another resolution that's been going on for 12 years, and usually, and that is to for the United States to stop the embargo against Cuba. Last time they voted last year, it was 173 countries in the world against them to 3, and the United States doesn't even have to go to war to enforce that one. All they have to do is just stop oppressing the Cuban people. But that resolution, apparently, is not enforced.
No.
So it's a double standard right there. I have two other things real quick. You know, the Cuban radio for the past 40 years in the Miami area, it's far right wing radio, and they have achieved an 85% are Republican people showing up to vote for Republican. I think that's higher than any other major city or any other monolithic group that I know in this country. So for 40 some years, it has worked for them, because the wealthy far right wing Cubans that came to this country control the radio station in the Miami area, and all of the people there, they pretty much tell them how to vote. And I think that's what is happening in that microcosm, and as it is happening in the rest of the United States now. They are controlling the radio stations and hoping that they can get a higher voting, you know, a higher number, more people to, because a lot of people just don't think about the elections. Like you were saying earlier, they just, you know, I think in my opinion, you know, most of them listen to the radio on the way to work, and TV, they listen to something else when they get home. I listened to something on Cuban radio. I want to share this with you, and I don't know if, you know, because I don't know if it's true or not, but this is very interesting. And those troops that were in Iraq, they were abusing those prisoners. Cuban radio said that the reason that they had those bags around their heads is because they had feces and urine in those bags, and they put it over those prisoners' heads. Number two, the other thing they said, that the people they haven't brought up into the forefront that were really in control of those army people, the civilians, so-called civilians that were hired, were Israeli civilians to hire to make those people talk, and that hasn't come out in the news here anywhere. I don't know if it's true, but if it is, that would be a tremendous, it would be shocking that they would even think about doing that.
Oh, yeah, it would. I've wondered all week long. I haven't had that confirmed, and I've heard that in several places. Of course, the military has not admitted it, if it is true. Man, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but if you have a bag over my head for 2 or 3 days, that'd be it for me. I'm claustrophobic, and you couldn't do anything worse to me.
Yeah.
I guess I probably shouldn't say that over the air. Someone get a hold of me and put a bag over my head. But, that'd be it for me. You know, and it's funny. It's not funny, but it's odd. We all have our horrors that would be the worst thing to us. That would be the worst thing to me. Others would be physical pain. Others would be, you know, mental torture. There's just so many ways to torture people. So it's, you know, it's hard to say what.
I can't imagine.
You know, it is. Hey, Juan, thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys.
Do appreciate it very, very much. Going to go to Ryan in Cape Coral. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Yes, good afternoon, guys. A little bit under the weather today. I didn't call for a while, but I wanted to say I agree with that former caller, Rob, about this war. It's all economic, and one of the one of the scariest things about it is that you have Fox News and you have all these right-wing talking heads, from the OxyContin drug addict, Rush Limbaugh, to Sean Hannity and all those others, just cheering boards for this administration. And it's economic in that aren't there like 20,000 different private contractors all there raking in all kinds of money with subsidiaries of Halliburton and Raytheon and everything else, all taking in the, they're taking our tax money, and they're Bush's buddies. They're laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, I agree.
It's a ripoff. The American people are being ripped off. One day it's for weapons of mass destruction. The next day it's for weapons of Iraqi freedom. And the problem with the whole thing is that, nobody like also what Rob says, when you look at China, when you look at all the other countries, and, we could care less about them, because the United States will never pick on anybody that can fight back. We always go after these third and fourth world nations that have no army. So idiots like Bush, who was a deserter, I might add, during the Vietnam War, I served honorably in Vietnam. He was a deserter at that time, so he can go now and be the leader of this country, and the appointed leader, I might add, and go and look like a hero, fighting an enemy that can't fight back. But it backfired on his face, and it's falling apart.
Oh, it has. Many people said early on that what a brave guy this was, gambling his presidency on this Iraq war.
Yeah.
I don't think at the time he really thought he was gambling his presidency, but it has turned out
as
such.
Yes, sir. I think he's under the auspices of Karl Rove, and I think that none of them were in the service themselves. This is the worst chicken hawk administration I ever saw. And another thing that really bugs me is the fact that something like, I don't know what it is now, 38, 40, 40, 41% of the American people think that Bush is a moral man. I mean, give me a break. I mean, what is wrong with people in this country? I mean, I know you got these nuts on the religious right that are just worried about shoving their religion down our throat. I'm just sick and tired of these people with their wanting to outlaw abortion, wanting to outlaw this, outlaw that. You take someone like Ashcroft, who's a nut, to say the least, who covers up, the breast of a statue. I mean, these people are sick. I am, these people, guy can believe whatever they want to believe. If they want to go to church and believe that nonsense, that's fine, but don't push it down my throat, because I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of those people. They don't even know what moral is. People on the religious right have no morals. All they have are prejudices.
I wish I had a letter here. I'll try and fish it out for later. Mm-hmm. But I had a letter here from a listener who said he ran across some people at the factory where he worked last week. About 20 of them, and it was a bunch of women, and these were all women who were good church going, very religious people. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday go to church and go to all the meetings and all this stuff, and the Iraq War came up, and to the very last person, they said we ought to just drop the bomb and kill them all.
These kind of people have no morals at all. All they ever prejudice is, and these anti-abortion nuts, they're so obsessed with a fetus before it's born, but once it's born, they could care less. I mean, you got children going without health care in this country. Our education system is going down the drain. And, there are a lot of children go to bed hungry, and adults, I might add, go to bed hungry. We're the only country in the world that has no kind of comprehensive national health care, and they're just worried about the fetus. But they don't give a darn about that child after it's born. Once you're born, you're on your own, according to these people. I mean, these people can go to church, believe whatever they want to believe, but, they shouldn't be pushing it on the rest of us, because they have no right. I think it's very implicit in our Constitution. There's a strong separation of church and state. And Thomas Paine, you ever read the writings of Thomas Paine and all the other founding fathers? I think they agree with me.
Hey, Brian, thanks for sharing your opinion with us today.
Goodbye now.
Oh, golly. Hey, want to thank a couple people. Chris Kern. Chris called the program last week, I believe it was. Maybe it was week before. Anyway, he sent a nice letter, and he's the one that called in and said about the state of Florida selling your driver's license information, and that you could block it from being shared. And you can, as it turns out, if you go to... in fact, I'll get your pencils and papers out. I'll give you that website in a little while. But Chris wrote a real nice letter, and I do appreciate it. Sent a very generous contribution to the program, and I do thank him very, very much for that. And I'd like to thank Elaine Miller from Newton, Iowa. Elaine, thank you so much for listening to the program. She listens via the White Rose Society. And by the way, all of you folks there that don't get to listen to the show live and listen to it on the White Rose Society archives, why, thank you. Thank you very much, and on behalf of Ben there, thank you very, very much, too. Ben Birch runs that wonderful website, and you can go there and throw him a nickel to keep that going, because as you locals may know, if you've got a computer and you're listening to us over the air here, you can listen to the show at your leisure on www.whiterosesociety.org, and you can just scroll. There's several other shows listed on there, too, fine shows, I might add. So it's our contribution to getting even with the right-wing radio wackos. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. We expect you'll be back with us in 5 minutes. Stay tuned. You're listening to WPTK Power Talk 1200 in Fort Myers, Florida.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Stacey Adams and Marisa Oaks on Wink News This Morning. First with breaking news.
Traffic is at a standstill this morning.
First with overnight news.
Here's a look at what's happened while you were asleep.
First with weather.
You can expect to see plenty of sunshine.
Wake up to a new morning with a team you can trust to get you going fast. Wink News This Morning, only on Southwest Florida's News Leader.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held. Until every battle's won and every song is sung. Until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org.
Alcoholism within the family is a lot of work. You struggle to cover up the problem. Put all your energy into avoiding conflict. Focus on hiding the problem from others and yourself. But, you know, sooner or later, you discover that all you've done is paint yourself into a corner. That's why there's Alateen. If someone's drinking is affecting your life, there is help.
Call 888-425-2666. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Fellow Americans,
ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you. Indeed, you're listening to the Guy James Show, and we're awfully glad to have you with us this afternoon. So much going on. It makes the show exciting every week, but gee whiz, I wish we had more time to talk because we do have many, many things to say. You can join us, you know, right here on the telephone, 1-888-602-7500, 7501, 7502-0304. Toll free. Doesn't cost you a plugged nickel. And locally, you can call us toll free as well, 479-5540, 479-5540. Glad to have you call us. Join in on the conversation, whether you be friend or foe. If you'd like to have a calm and collected and a good, reasonable discussion about the political scene, why, we'd be glad to talk to you right now, whether you're with us or against us politically. Hey, boys and girls, I want you to hear something that I was referred to. I want you to know I don't listen to this particular lunatic, but Mike Savage. I know everybody knows who Mike Savage is. And he's on one of the local stations here. And I really have a hard time believing that people put a absolute crazy lunatic on the air like this Mike Savage. But they do. And I want you to hear what he had to say about the prisoner abuse in Iraq.
And I think there should be no mercy shown to these subhumans. I believe that 1,000 of them should be killed tomorrow. I think 1,000 of them held in the Iraqi prison should be given a 24-hour trial and executed. I think they need to be shown that we are not going to roll over to them. It won't happen. It won't happen because of the CBS communists. And it won't happen because of the CNN traitors. No mercy. It won't happen because of the MSNBC empty heads. Instead of putting joysticks, I would like to have seen dynamite put in their orifices, and they should be dropped from airplanes. How's that? You like that one? Go call somebody that you want to report me to, see if I care. They should put dynamite in their behinds and drop them from 35,000 feet, the whole pack of scum out of that jail. Thank you, CBS. Thank you, New Yorker. Thank you, Carl Levin. Thank you, Ted Kennedy. Thank you, Hillary Clinton.
Stop and think about that for a minute. I want you to know that a whole lot of people called in after those remarks and said, right on, Mike, right on. And if you think that the far-right fringe isn't in favor of that, why, you have, as my mother would say, got another think coming, because they do talk like that. They really, really do. And, you know, those people are frightening. They are absolutely frightening. Can you imagine? You know, how could you take a tack like that? It's, you know, imagine what this guy just said. First of all, we have our own Pentagon, and we have the Red Cross saying that somewhere between 60 and 90% of the people in that prison haven't done anything. Just rounded up and thrown in there and to be screened and find out if they have done anything and then let them go. And we got like 80 soldiers guarding 8,000 prisoners, virtually unsupervised. You know things were going to happen. Human nature being what it is, I don't care if it's Americans, I don't care if it's Swahilis, Russians, Tobogans, I don't care who it is. Human nature being what it is, there's going to be bad things happen. And why not just stand up and say, hey, it happened, we're guilty, we did it. This is a blight on our nation, but we're going to make it right. We're going to do a better job. And but no, we've got some people like this idiot Senator Imhoff from Oklahoma and Santorum from Pennsylvania and our good friend Rush Limbaugh and some others saying that, oh, hey, it's just a few pranks. Boy, the Arabs sure think it's just a few pranks, don't they? And that doesn't lessen the outrage of what happened to Mr. Berg. It doesn't lessen the outrage of that whatsoever. We have a group of crazy people doing sad things, despicable things in that prison. We have a group of crazy people doing things like they did to Mr. Berg. Crimes against humanity, both of them. Two wrongs don't make a right in that situation. Going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the program.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
I thought Michael Savage was thrown off the air because of his brutal attack on gay people, and he said he hoped they caught AIDS, and I thought we had enough of him already. Now he's still hanging in there.
Yeah, he's still on the radio. They threw him off of TV for that, but radio, he must still turn a dollar or two for him.
Oh, boy. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh. I don't know why, but I was, and a gentleman called up and asked, why couldn't we have more conservation in this country to release the grip from the Middle East, which most people think is true. And I want to say something good about a former Republican president, Gerald Ford, who was from Michigan, and he's the one that had the guts to say, we've got to downsize the automobiles, we got to get more gas mileage. And that was the last time we had any attempt to try to get more gas mileage out of our cars. And Rush Limbaugh told this gentleman that conservation is a good thing, but we don't have enough conservation, so therefore we should have less conservation. It was almost as if he was on some kind of drug or something. I don't know what it was, but
might I suggest it's OxyContin?
As we make the case, I think everybody's forgotten, but when Nancy Reagan came on this week and made a plea for her husband to please get this stem cell research going, and I think most people have forgotten, before 9/11, the major speech from the Bush administration was on stem cell research. And the same pattern of taking the truth and twisting it around was used, and the lines of stem cells were misrepresented by the administration. And now it's, the people know that. There's still a chance for the Bush administration to back up and let more of that go on. Think of all these people in wheelchairs. And because the religious right says no, this administration won't back up on that. But you, Guy, could you walk up to Mrs. Reagan and look her in the eye and says, ma'am, I'm not going to help you? Could you do that?
I'm afraid not. But, you know, I read someplace where what this war is costing so far could have funded cancer research for like 40 years.
Oh.
You know, so there's just so many abuses of the money. It's just... You know, and so much of it being thrown away as well.
Well, I think in something you touched on earlier, that the meanest thing this administration did was to question Max Cleland's patriotism. And Max Cleland, he's not out there asking for pity. He's asking for the respect that he earned the hard way. And for these people to treat him that was very mean. and it was stupid. But the worst thing they did on the stupid level was to attack Senator McCain with lies, and that's coming back to haunt them over and over again. And the last time was after this awful treatment of the prisoners, and Senator McCain looked down on all those generals and says, I want to know who's in charge. I want a flow chart. And he hasn't gotten it yet.
Right.
And I want to know, is the Army in charge? Is the CIA? Did we turn it over to the Israelis? Did we turn it over to contractors? Why don't we have an answer on who's in charge of that interrogation?
Well, so far, I don't think we have an idea who's in charge of what in this administration. It seems like it is absolutely running amok. And, nobody taking responsibility for anything. For anything. There's been nobody take responsibility for anything in this administration. And I'm stunned by it. I really am. Hey, Bill, I got to go.
Okay. See you next week, then. Thank you
so much. Right now, I want to introduce somebody right now that's I'm very, very happy to have on the program, a gentleman who has started a brand new website called MediaMatters.org. MediaMatters.org. I want you to all go there and take a look at this terrific website. Here's a guy by the name of David Brock. You all know who David Brock is. Wrote the great book, and I don't know if you've read it, but it's a great read, by the way, called Blinded by the Right. And he's also got a new book coming out called The Republican Noise Machine, the Right-Wing Media, and How It Corrupts Democracy. Here's a guy that's been in the other camp, seen how it works, and do what I said, please. Go to that website, MediaMatters.org, and take a good look. David Brock, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So good to have you with us this afternoon. I've been checking out your website all week, and I got to tell you, it's very interesting, and I know you're going to get many, many hits on that website, especially when people see exactly what it is. And what caused you to start this website?
Well, I was writing a book that's actually being published next week called The Republican Noise Machine. And I realized writing the book that the problem was so extensive, the problem being the disproportionate influence of conservatism in the media, that a book would not be enough to start to solve the problem, and that a research institution primarily driven through the web, where we put fresh content every day, monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative information and accumulating that evidence over time might be a more effective way of pushing that back.
Well, it seems you've made certain conservative talk show hosts a little upset over you monitoring what they say and correcting and making them, holding their feet to the fire as far as truth is concerned.
Yeah, well, one of the things I realized in writing the book was that the conservatives in the media operate with almost complete impunity. They're never challenged, and there isn't an organization that has the capacity to analyze it in real time every day. And I was trying to write a chapter, for example, on right-wing talk radio, and I couldn't get it all down, and I realized that it wasn't systematically transcribed, and so they say things, and then, 3 days later they deny it, you can't prove it. And so it just seemed to me that the right wing has invested tens of millions of dollars in similar institutions that monitor the media for what they consider to be liberal bias, and they've been doing this for 30 years. And while their research, I think, is very unconvincing, they're very good with PR, and they've convinced even close to a majority of Democrats that the media is liberally biased. But when we commissioned a poll for our launch, which was 2 weeks ago now, we asked the question, and the poll result was that a plurality of voters believed that conservatives more than liberals had undue influence in the media. So that's a change, and I think it's been a change over the last 15, 18 years. And I've seen it personally, as you mentioned. I was 10 years in the conservative media. I've been 7 years out of it. In that 17-year time, there really has been massive structural change in the media, and that has meant ideological change as well, and a shifting to the right. And we see it every day across talk radio, across cable, the internet. Primarily what's considered new media is where there's really disproportionate conservative influence, and it's a partisanship masquerading as information and masquerading as journalism.
Well, that's one of my questions. Is the content, when it's misinformation and all, is it caused by a true ideological bias, or is it intentional lying? What are your feelings about that?
not documenting mistakes in the sense that, you know, everyone makes mistakes. A mistake is a mistake.
Right.
What we're documenting, and it's night after night, what we are documenting is intentional and systematic distortion of the truth. And we've already seen it. I mean, we only have been operating for 10 days, but we have seen, for example, Sean Hannity on the Fox News Channel being corrected on the air with a misstatement, and then the next night making the same misstatement. So that's not an accident. That's not a mistake. That's purposeful.
Saw Joe Scarborough do the same thing recently on his program. Got corrected right on the air, and 15 minutes later he was repeating after the guest was gone.
That's right. So, you know, as I say, you know, journalism isn't a science, and so we're not nitpicking here. We're going after people where there's a pattern. There's a pattern, and the political pattern is for those people who read Blinded by the Right, you know, that was about the Clinton era. And a lot of people thought, and even I thought perhaps, that when the Clintons left the scene, that would be the end of the organized right-wing attack and the media machinery that they have to go after people. But it was clear that in the 2000 election, the same thing happened to Gore. The Republican National Committee realized they could not beat Gore on the issues, so they invented a caricature of Gore, that he couldn't tell the truth, that he didn't have integrity, he didn't know who he was, these kinds of things. And the election really turned on those issues because the people coming out of the voting booth that day preferred, a majority clearly preferred, all of Gore's programs, issues, even on such issues as taxes that are typically Republican advantage. But voters felt that Bush told them the truth and Bush was more trustworthy. And that was just an invention. And it was carried out not only in the right-wing media, but as you know, there's an echo effect off the right-wing media. You cannot have tens, even hundreds of millions of dollars spent to spin Republican noise out into the system and have it not affect the rest of the media climate. And so that happened to Gore. It happened to Senator Daschle when the Senate changed hands and Rush Limbaugh started calling Daschle Satan, literally.
Right.
And it happened for people who read Al Franken's book, Lying Liars and the Liars Who Tell Them. It happened before the Wellstone Memorial, where that was completely distorted by right-wing talk radio, by Tucker Carlson and Peggy Noonan. And that was right on the eve of an election. And again, the late deciders in that election, having been misinformed about what happened there, voted Republican. And, you know, we're playing it out again now with Kerry. And we've played it out with Wesley Clark, and we've played it out with Howard Dean. And so what I've tried to get people to realize is that this has virtually nothing to do with the particular candidates. And Democrats have a tendency to blame their own candidates for not running good campaigns. Now, all campaigns are not perfect. I will give you that. But they're not perfect on either side. There's an uneven playing field that victimizes every issue, every progressive issue, and every progressive candidate. And people need to realize that there's a problem that has to be attacked at its root. And the Media Matters organization was invented to really attack that problem at its root. So it is not related to electioneering or this or that political campaign. It is a long-term battle to challenge the conservative misinformation, correct it, and try to move toward a situation where people could get more solid and better information to make their choices to when they vote. This is a real problem. If people, you know, there have been studies that have shown, and we in our poll we asked a question about this, but there have also been studies who've shown that the Fox News Channel viewer is getting wrong and false information, and they therefore have false misimpressions about such things as whether weapons of mass destruction have been found. The Fox viewer believes they have. So here's you know, here's a problem for democracy. It's not just Democrats. It's a problem for democracy.
Well, what you know, there are all these right-wing think tanks. There's all the right-wing media folks. Is it, you know, the whole thing that establishes this, is it a massive infusion of money over the years?
Yeah.
Or do they just have more interest in this than the Democrats do?
Well, I think probably both are true. Clearly, in the book, people read the book, I really do follow the money, and I place heavy emphasis on money and the conservative decision, going back to the early 1970s, to try to purchase the public debate and move the discourse to the right. Mainstream ideas and people who 30 years ago would have been considered progressives do. It just means they spend it differently. They spend it to sell their ideas. They're heavily focused on branding and marketing. So I think that is the really big point. Now, it is also the case that some of this right-wing media is profitable and is popular. There always has been a market. As far, you know, I took my book back to the 1950s. There were widely circulated racist newsletters in this country in the 1950s. There were self-published books by people like Phyllis Schlafly that were sold through John Birch Society book clubs that sold, you know, 6-7 million copies. So this is bigger than the audience of the Fox News Channel today. So there always was a market. What's changed is the ability for the information to move across all media channels so that the racist newsletters, you know, came in your mailbox and you read it and that was that, or the book came in and the reader read it. Today, a book like an Ann Coulter book that is just page after page of lies is promoted on talk radio, gets on the bestseller list that way, and because it's on the bestseller list, the rest of the media, which I think really isn't in any ideological camp but pays very much attention to ratings and what sells, therefore has to have Ann Coulter on the Today Show. And that is where you get the poisoning of the mainstream media culture.
Oh, poisoning is right, coming out of her mouth. How important was, you know, a guy I know quite a bit about, Lee Atwater, seemed to me he was a master of the media machine and the PR and the disinformation back during the end of the Reagan years and on into the George Bush the first. And in fact, I think he almost coined the phrase, the left-wing media.
Right. Well, absolutely. There were political operatives like Lee Atwater and Roger Ailes who were very involved in attacking and stigmatizing the media as liberal. What's different now, I mean, it's one thing to be kind of a brass-knuckle political operative. It's quite another for these brass-knuckle political operatives to then assume roles as journalists, such as Roger Ailes, who headed CNBC for a while and now heads the Fox News Channel, who really is the same person he was when he was working for Richard Nixon. And so they've been able to kind of infiltrate the media and infiltrate journalism. Both sides have political people who may play hardball. What's really insidious about the right wing is that they're playing these other roles now where people are getting confused. People feel that these pundits are reliable when they're not, and they're all across all cable channels, and that's the real difference. And Al Gore talked about this. He gave a big interview that I cite in my book that was very instrumental in my own thinking. He gave a big interview in the New York Observer, unfortunately 2 years after the election, but explaining what had happened, where an idea surfaces in the Republican National Committee or one of the other Republican committees, and then it's marketed out to, say, a right-wing website like the Drudge Report, and then all of talk radio is reading the Drudge Report. And before you know it, it just becomes part of the zeitgeist of the country. And that's a product of all the changes in the media, the rise of nationally syndicated talk radio and the rise of cable and the invention of the Internet.
Some of these things that get started actually seem pretty slick. I don't know if you've been monitoring Limbaugh long enough to catch this, but something I've been onto for the last couple of years now, and you'll have to tell your staff about it if they don't already know this. I've noticed Limbaugh, who is an extremely influential man,
right,
likes to do this like on Monday. I don't know whether the call is planted or for real, but on a Monday usually, some caller will call in with some far-right wacko idea, and Limbaugh won't say, "I agree with you." He says, "Well, you've got a point there." And then on Tuesday, that subject will magically come up, and Limbaugh will say, "Well, we heard yesterday about so-and-so and this."
Sure.
And then by Wednesday, he's saying, "Well, we know this to be a fact,"
right?
And he's so good at it. I've observed him doing that 20-30 times at least.
Right. Yes, he's a very skilled propagandist, which is one of the reasons why we decided it's very expensive, but we decided to have professional transcription, word for word, of all of his broadcasts, because he speaks. speaks in a way that is very slippery, and you need the actually printed page to try to really figure out what's going on there. And the lying, you know, sometimes it's blatant, but often it's very couched and hard to kind of dig out. So you really need those transcripts to do it. No one's ever done this. And as a result, you know, in our first week of doing the transcription last week, we picked up what I think many people may know, although many others don't, his characterization of the Iraqi abuse and torture as his equating it to a college prank, his saying that these people were just having a good time, that, you know, people need to blow off steam, describing the abuse as brilliant. And we picked all that up, you know, last Wednesday, Thursday, and it's just mushroomed from there, and it's become quite controversial. Now, these things may go on that show all the time. I don't know, because, as I said, we've only been doing it for 2 weeks. But the fact is that it's made him extremely uncomfortable. He's talked about us on the air virtually every day, calling us the Rush Monitors. And it just tells me that, you know, he's just not used to scrutiny. He could stand up there all day and blast, you know, he says he's more credible than the New York Times. Well, let's put him to the test and let's see if that's the case. He also plays, I'm sure if you've listened, a double game where he tells his own audience that he's telling them the truth. This is not understood outside the right wing. I think a lot of people who don't listen to it imagine that it's a comedy show. But it really isn't. And our poll also showed, when we asked what do you take out of a Limbaugh show, a large majority said they go there for information, not to be entertained. So this is, again, a problem if people are feeling that the information they're getting is credible, when clearly, I mean, the statements I just said that he made there, I don't think most people would think are credible. And so that's a problem. And I have noticed the other thing that you were talking about, where he'll also take a really radical right-wing rag, and he'll say, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with this, but you should know about it because it's out there. And then he'll read it. So, I mean,
right.
You know.
That's his stamp of approval on it.
Exactly.
He's saying behind the scene, folks, I want you to believe every word I'm saying here because I'm Rush Limbaugh.
That's right.
You know, and somehow he sees himself as above it all. Just, you know, the other day he put those two full-page ads in the Palm Beach newspaper.
Right.
How many people would have the audacity to do that? But I guess he's got the money to do it. Yeah, I think
he's got the money to do it. And then, you know, they're sourced to the Washington Times and the American Spectator. Now, I worked at both of those publications while I was in the right wing, and I can tell you that if that's the source, it's not a credible source. The Washington Times, I mean, the journalistic values there were nil, and then they were even lower at the American Spectator, where I have said, in Blinded by the Right, that I worked at the American Spectator for almost 5 years, and I was never fact-checked.
Wow.
The moment I left the right wing and started writing for regular publications, I started writing for New York Magazine, and at the end of the article, the researcher asked me for my notes, and I just had never heard of such a thing.
Totally new policy.
Exactly.
I saw your TV ad that you've got out about the Limbaugh thing the other day,
right.
And I've been notified that there have been at least one station, where is it, in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Refused to air. They didn't want your money.
That's
refused
correct.
To air. Why?
That's correct. We took out, we did a cable buy in Washington and the vicinity, and all the cables took it, including Fox. And it's just an informational ad. It simply says, you know, Donald Rumsfeld said that the torture was fundamentally un-American, but here's what Rush Limbaugh said, and it's just his own words. And that's the ad. So Friday, we offered the ad to WMAL in Washington, which runs Limbaugh. We cut a radio spot, and it was rejected not only for the Limbaugh show, but it was rejected stationwide. And we were told point blank, and it's in a press release, that if people want to go to our website and see it, MediaMatters.org, that they weren't going to do anything to screw Rush Limbaugh.
Wow.
So that was the answer.
Well, he's the gravy train.
It's just Rush's own words. You know, I mean, we're not doing anything to the words. We're just repeating them. So
yeah, I've heard it. I'm gonna
airing the words in the first place. You know.
With your permission, after we're done here, I'm going to play this ad for
that would be
for
great, because one of the problems we have as an institution And I think this goes for many progressive organizations. It goes for progressive magazines. No matter how solid your research is, we have delivery problems because there is not enough liberal radio in this country. There's virtually no liberal presence on the cable channels. And I've documented this in my book. I go back 20 years to show how that happened. But, you know, it tends to be that it's hard to have a voice in the media today. And even if your information is solid and it's exciting and people would want to know about it, if Michael Moore or some equivalent person in liberal circles had said such a non-credible statement on such a sensitive issue, you know, the whole country would know about it.
Right.
This is absolutely the problem. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. You know, I know since you left the right wing people and did you have an association with Richard Mellenscaife?
Oh, sure, I did. Yeah. Richard Mellenscaife not only funded my position at the American Spectator,
uh-huh.
And then there was the establishment, which I wrote about quite a bit in Blinded by the Right, of an Arkansas project, which was a special $2.2 million fund that was set up by Richard Mellenscaife to go after dirt dig on the Clintons.
What causes a man to get that heavily involved in something like that?
Well, that's a good question. I'm often asked about the motivation of these people, and it's probably a case-by-case basis, and it's a difficult thing to explain. From what I gather, he was a conservative. He was investing in politicians, in Barry Goldwater, in Richard Nixon. After Watergate, he became disillusioned with the approach of putting money into candidates because candidates had failed him, and he decided to build up this communications empire, which is quasi-independent of the Republican Party. It's not the Republican National Committee. However, it's actually more influential than the Republican National Committee at the end of the day. And so altogether, I think he's put in at least $400 or $500 million into these right vehicles to promote ideology, to brand conservatism. So all this jargon you hear, faith-based initiatives, and school vouchers, and flat taxes, these are all invented in these think tanks. People feel, you've got 40 pundits on cable. Okay, well, look at the affiliations there, because the large majority of them are affiliated in right-wing think tanks in Washington, heavily funded by Richard Mellenscaife. So at the end of the day, you're almost hearing just from one person.
He's still heavily funding these organizations?
Yes, he is.
Wow. Yeah. Let's turn the corner here a little bit. Now I want to ask about you. You're gonna get all sorts of accusations and so forth, and you have ever
it's
since you. Yeah, and probably all sorts of retribution since you wrote your book about Blinded by the Right, and now this new website. You're going to be on an enemies list, and we're going to hear lots of things about you. Let's clear up a couple of things right now. Is the Democratic National Committee funding your website?
No.
Okay. How is it funded?
It is funded by roughly 40 individual donors who are progressive activists who fund a lot of progressive candidates, fund a lot of progressive issues. I went out starting in September of 2003, and I raised every dollar myself. And so there is no there's no DNC money in here. There's no Democratic committees. Now, I was introduced to donors. I'm new to this, and so I was introduced to donors.
Sure.
But I had to sell those donors. I had to make the relationships with those donors. I believe that I had a very good idea. It's not going to solve every problem in the world. You're trying to build, I think, different ways of effectively confronting the conservative domination. It's not just one way. And so I have a little strategic piece of the puzzle that I thought would be very effective, which is it's not fighting fire with fire, it's fighting fire with water. All we're doing is shining the light on what they do. We're not attacking them, we're not calling names, we're not doing that. We are just documenting what they do, and we're doing it all from the public record. It's nothing personal. We're TiVoing all these shows. We're taping Limbaugh, and I'd like to tape some more shows if I could get a little more money. At the moment, we did do an experiment this week and taped Michael Sachs.
I just played his comments about what ought to be done with the prisoners. Have you heard that?
If people want to go to this website, I mean, it could make you cry.
Yes.
If you listen to those savage things. And the question I have, I mean, you know, he may be just off the charts, fine. But I just have a question about who this explain people are who are listening, because it's just incomprehensible. People just have to read the quotes.
Yeah, really. I just played his rant about the prisoners the other day, and I couldn't believe my ears when I first heard it. I just couldn't.
That's right. I mean, Limbaugh has tried to minimize, dismiss, and apologize for the torture, but Savage is actually advocating torture, and in torture in ways. I mean, there's one quote where he says that he wants to have dynamite put into the orifices of all Iraqis.
Throw them out of the planes at 35,000 feet.
Exactly. So this is just...
He's over the top, all
this
right.
This is hate speech, and it's the reason he got fired from MSNBC.
Sure.
But people think he's gone, but he's not. He's got a huge audience.
No, he's got a huge audience across the nation. David, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. You want to briefly tell us about your new book? It's not quite out yet, right?
Right. It will be out Tuesday. It's called The Republican Noise Machine, Right-Wing Media and How It Corrupts Democracy. And what I try to do there is answer the question. You know, after Blinded by the Right, I got involved in a lot of discussions with progressives in Washington about these kinds of things. What could be done? Obviously, there are bad things that the right wing does, but they are effective communicators. They do understand the notion of spending money smartly to promote their ideas. And so it seemed like a natural subject for me to be interested in, to be asked about. So I started to explore, well, what would those ways be? And you know what happened? I kept coming back to the media as the essential problem. That all politics is translated in the media, and the political composition of the media is incredibly important. And so it affects every issue, as I said, and it affects every candidate. And so I try to show exactly how this machine was constructed. And I start in the Goldwater years. I do a lot of work in the 70s, who these people were. What were the plans? This is not an accident. There were specific plans written down. There was money raised. Multi-millions were raised to counter essentially a couple things. I mean, to counter the consumer movement, to counter the feminist movement. But the other important thing is they were trying to counteract university research because the research that the right wing does couldn't really meet the standards of the academy. And so these are quasi-academic, but there's no peer review. And there's no standard in there except that you do the work that fits the right result.
Yeah.
And so that's what they created.
Well, we've got to give them credit. I mean, they had the resolve, they raised the money, they had the patience.
Yeah.
They've done a fantastic job. I mean,
people I think are rightly conflicted about this because the strategy was smart. Now, what people have to understand is that you have to make a distinction between the strategy and the content. The content is something that, as a convert from conservatism, I do not agree with, and I think probably a majority of the country does not believe. But the strategy is effective. I mean, look, the Democrats, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that 15 years out of date, in particularly in the use of new media, not understanding the importance of radio, not understanding that these cable shows, even if they don't have massive audiences, create the buzz and set the agenda, and the audience for them are political junkies who are highly politically motivated and who vote. Same with the internet, although there's more of a progressive presence on the internet.
Oh, yes.
But the real heavy domination and the high traffic is coming out of the Drudge Report. It's coming out of something called Newsmax, which I don't know whether people are familiar with.
Oh yes, and I think
by Richard Mellon-Scaife.
I think you and I share a mutual friend talking about trying to balance out the radio at Tom Athens of Democracy Radio.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually on the board of Democracy Radio.
Yeah, Tom's a good guy, and he's working hard to get this a little more balanced.
I think it's a very important project.
Very important.
Yeah.
David, I'd like to thank you so much for being on our program again. I'm going to play your ad in a little while.
That's great.
want everybody to hear it. It's again, just throwing his own words back at him. And it's something we've needed for a long time with this new website, www.mediamatters.org. You all need to put that on your favorites, a computer, and check in on it every day. Ladies and gentlemen, David Brock. And, David, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good day.
Boy, there's a guy there that I would like to talk to for several days because he's got some stories to tell. Back when he was involved with the American Spectator and that group, there's some stories he could tell to curl your hair. Believe me, he really could. I think we're going to pause for a break right now, and I want you to know you're listening to The Guy James Show, and we'll be right back after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it. Guy James. Good afternoon, Guy James fans. Enjoying the show? Hey, we're glad to hear that. Here's an example of one of our future shows. Yes, you heard right. That could be the sound you hear or don't hear from the Guy James Show soon. Here, let's listen in one more time. The Guy James Show is America's most powerful weapon to counter the poisonous assault coming from the right. The Guy James Show is America's only commercial-free democratic talk radio show. But without the support of loyal listeners like you, this important national voice could be lost. Instead of this,
there's never been a president of the United States who deserved to be impeached more than George W. Bush. Day after day, I think I'm in some sort of a dream when I think about all the incredible lies and downright treasonable acts that this guy and his minions have gotten away with over and over and over again, and he still sits in the Oval Office. You know, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. You know, there's no word strong enough to describe the contempt I feel for these people.
We could hear this. The Guy James Show, based in fact, produced with pride and delivered with passion. Fellow Democrats, this show is entirely supported by loyal listeners just like you and me. The need is critical, and the time is now. Log on to our website at www.theguyjamesshow.com and show your support. That's www.theguyjamesshow.com, where all that's left is the truth.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk. But a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
From Joey Reynolds to Matt Drudge, Power Talk 1200 is your weekend choice for Power Talk. Nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, yeah, back with you. And we got a long ways to go in this program and a very short time to go that distance. I'll tell you, as always, we've got a huge amount of things to talk about and just don't have the time. I wish we did have the time. See, I'd like to thank some folks. You know, we are a listener-supported program. And we appreciate your contributions to the program. I'd like to thank Virginia Miller, Elaine Miller, Marcia Johns, Chris Kern, Carolyn Dushku, Barbara Presnell, Bobby Kaz, Ed Bowers, Wendy Hessman, Martin Cooper, Donald and Judy Dowling, Tom Vines, Vince D'Amici, Susan Duerman, Abe and Sylvia Bernstein, Barbara Edmonton, Bill Hunt, Margie Hunt, Bill Hunt Jr., Amy Eisler. We'll talk some more about some of our friends of the program in just a little while. Gosh, such a big list. Joe Hinckley, Jeffrey Hales, John Hoggett, Nancy Mirzik, Tony Brivaldi, John Blair, Ryan Veith, Jeff Mattson, Gregory Rayner, Mercedes Carrero. Who else here? We got Vicky Sandek, Elena Labar, Marie Nelson, Robert DeVale, Harry Halakias, J.D. Morrow, and Linda Davis. So many folks help fund this program, and I can't tell you how appreciative I am of your support of the program. It's so good to have you with us. Let's go to the phones. And by the way, speaking of telephones, 888-602-7500. We expect you to call us if you have something you'd like to say. You want to get your 2 cents worth in, be friend or foe, give us a call. We're going to go to Scott in Fort Myers. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to talk to you about the United Nations and George Bush. Because you keep saying that he's against the United Nations or doesn't seem to want the United Nations in there.
Oh, he does now.
He did at the beginning.
He did?
Well, let's listen to this. In September of 2002 speech to the UN General Assembly, he says the conduct of the Iraq regime is a threat to the authority of the United Nations. He said any Security Council resolution to be honored and enforced, or is it to be honored and enforced, or cast aside without consequence? Will the United Nations serve the purpose of its founding, or will it be irrelevant? We want the revolutions of the world's most important multilateral body to be enforced. We want international institutions to work. And then he talked about, but Saddam Hussein was ignoring the United Nations demands, and the more he ignored them, said Bush, the weaker the United Nations became. It is time, said the president, for the UN to be a credible body. And that's why he said he went in there for various United Nations resolutions.
Well, well, surprising he didn't have the support of more of the members of the United Nations, isn't it? If that's you know, if he had their support, and
he had Kofi Annan's support, he just didn't have the support of the member nations,
right?
Because it was a weak organization by that time, and what they're doing is giving it more and more power. Which, you know, for every action, there's a like and similar reaction. The more power they have, the less power the United States has. So he's giving up the sovereignty of this country and calling himself a conservative. Which really gets me when you guys talk about the liberals and the conservatives, because I want to know, just from you, since you're a Kerry backer, what's Kerry going to do different than George Bush did? I haven't heard any policy changes at all.
Well, as far as the war?
As far as anything. All he wants to do is maybe spend more money on Medicare or do this or do that, but he's still stealing from one person to give to another. He's still making government bigger and bigger, and the people's freedoms are less and less. I haven't heard anything change. The policies stay the same. Only the people in power change.
Well, I think one thing Kerry's going to do is to heal our foreign relations that we have with so many nations around the world that have soured so much during his administration.
How's he going to do that? Give them more money?
Well, no, not necessarily that. Not be so antagonistic toward them. Be a little more friendly toward them. Be a little more cooperative with some of the nations around the world.
If he does that, Israel's going to get mad at him. You don't want to upset Israel. That's what this thing's all about.
Well, I can't disagree with you there. Very, very much of it. The Middle East problem has had very much to do with our relations with Israel, and it's time that. And I know you and I both will make some enemies by saying this, but it's a time we have a little fairness in what goes on in the Middle East, because up to this point, it has not been fair.
Well, of course it hasn't been fair. It hasn't been fair. And we haven't had peace in the Middle East since 1948 when Israel went in there.
No, not really.
You know, and some of the audacious things that they have done would make the... Have you heard about Deir Yassin?
Yes.
You do know about
yes.
Deir Yassin?
Yes.
Okay, you know what they do whenever they want to take a house, a Palestinian's home? They give them a few hours to get out, and then they bulldoze it down.
Sure, sure.
You know, but then that's a democracy, so that's what we want.
Well, they're not making any friends by doing it, and it's not making anything any better. And the thing is, our government right now is just rubber stamping anything Sharon wants to do.
And they did that under Clinton.
Well, yeah.
They did that under Carter.
I can't. At least Clinton and Carter tried a little harder to get some peace and get some understanding and some dialogue going in the Middle East. Right now, it's anybody's game. Do what you want. And I think if we're serious about playing a serious role in the Middle East, we're going to have to get more involved in that. Scott's got lots of people waiting on the phone. I thank you so much for your call.
I don't believe that either. But anyway,
you don't believe we've got
later.
Lots of people waiting on the phone?
Yeah,
we do. Going to one right now. Going to go to Ron in Fort Myers. Ron, welcome to the program.
Guy James. What I wanted to mention was that yesterday on your station 1200 at 10:15 a.m., the Glenn Burke program,
Glenn Beck,
I'm sorry, he was attacking Nick Burke's father, unmerciful. I mean, it doesn't matter what party you are, this guy was outrageous, he was a jerk, he was mean, vicious, despicable. He had no compassion at all for the father. I don't remember all the things that he said. I was so set back that it was just unbelievable.
Well, Glenn Beck is, in my opinion, an unbalanced individual. Last week I spoke on the show how I heard him blame the entire Iraq war on John Kerry.
Uh-huh.
And sit there and rationalize the entire thing. It was an amazing story. That I heard him repeat. It fascinated me. It really did. But he can come up with some scenarios that just literally blow you away. And, you know, right there, here we have a bereaved father, and look at what that man has gone through, Mr. Berg has gone through this week, the horror of what happened to his son. Yes, if he feels there's blame to go around, he's going to lash out. He's human. He's got feelings. And he did lash out and bear his true feelings about what went on. There's nothing wrong with that, right or wrong. Doesn't matter where you're at. You ought to be humane and understanding enough to understand a man's pain.
Some compassion, that's for sure.
Well, Beck's a conservative, and there you go. That's a perfect example of the compassionate conservative. The man has no compassion for them. You know, just because, he blamed the Bush administration for what happened, and I've heard that, and I know you have as well. But some of these people like Glenn Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and G. Gordon Liddy and all these folks, they don't want to hear anything. Derogatory whatsoever toward the Bush administration. That's just how it is.
Now, I heard that Jim Watkins was the program director for your stations. Would it help if I called? Do they record these programs that they could play back these outrageous statements that they made?
Oh, I really don't know if they record them. You know, I have no idea. I record my program, and by the way, any of you listening locally, you want to hear our show later on, hear a replay of it or anything, you can go to www.whiterosesociety.org, and it's there. And
okay.
I do thank you so much for your call, Ron.
Okay, and I will support you.
Thank you.
Bye.
How many of you feel the way I do about what you saw this week? I think they're starting to crack. I think these conservatives right now, I think they've become dangerous people. And they've got some problems going on, and they know it. The numbers that have come out, the poll numbers that have come out, they're extremely worried. You remember Limbaugh and all those folks early on talking about how they were going to win in a walk, and how Pat Roberts, for example, or was it Jerry Falwell? Forget which one of those two crazies, under the guise of religion, said that God told him that Bush was going to win in a walk. I'd like to have a relationship like that. Anyway, I don't get my political news from God. I really don't. But obviously, Falwell and Robertson do. So they have a leg up on us, I guess, if you want to believe a word those two clowns say. You're listening to The Guy James Show and on WPTK, Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. And we'll be right back after the news. You stay tuned now. You hear?
The Guy James Show.
We'll be right back.
top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Doubts growing about the president? I'm Joan Bennett. A new Newsweek poll finds that the Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal may have contributed to a slide in President Bush's job approval rating, now at 42%. 52% said they disapprove of the president's performance in office. Newsweek senior editor Marcus Mabry.
If we compare it with past presidents, incumbents who were bidding for re-elections, we see that he is significantly below what Bill Clinton had at this point in his presidency, 48%, and Ronald Reagan, 54%. He is above his father, who had a 35% approval rating in the May of his re-election year, and Jimmy Carter, who had a 38% approval rating.
1,000 adults surveyed, margin of error plus or minus 3%. President Bush shifting focus from Iraqi prisoner abuse, vowing to hunt down the killers of American Nicholas Berg, and in doing so, ultimately bring peace to Iraq.
Their barbarism cannot be appeased, and their hatred cannot be satisfied. There is only one way to deal with terror. We must confront the enemy and stay on the offensive until these killers are defeated.
John Kerry in the Democrats' radio address said the Bush administration has to admit it made mistakes in Iraq.
We have a duty to look ahead so that once victory on the battlefield is won, we have a plan to win the peace.
A 40-ton support beam dropped from a highway overpass that was under construction, crushing an SUV as it traveled along I-70 near Denver. A family of three was killed. Colorado Governor Bill Owens.
This is a horrible aberration, and it's one we want to find what happened so we can avoid it in the future.
Oscar-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow has given birth to her first child, a baby girl named Apple Blythe Allison Martin. Paltrow's husband, Chris Martin of Coldplay, said they're 900 miles over the moon. Julio Iglesias may be changing his tune. Longtime bachelor has announced he's planning to marry his girlfriend of the past 14 years. The couple has four children. This is ABC News.
An OnStar Conversation, February 15th, 2004.
Okay, emergency, this is Valerie.
Oh, we need a ambulance.
Okay, I do have you on State Highway 146. Are there any injuries?
Yeah, a truck turned in front of another car and hit it, and it turned over right in front of us.
Okay, I will contact the police.
Okay.
Police?
Yes, this is Valerie with OnStar, and I'm reporting a vehicle crash with airbag deployment on Highway 146.
Okay, I'm going to send an ambulance.
Thank you.
Make sure you're never without the valuable assistance of OnStar.
Sir, the police do have the car, and the ambulance is on the way, okay?
Okay.
Would you like for me to remain on the line?
I'll see the police.
Okay.
Many Buick vehicles are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Buick dealer or Buick.com. OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Over $3 million of fine art, jewelry, Rolex watches, gold coins, Persian rugs, historical documents, luxury furs, collectibles, and bronze sculptures must be sold at liquidation auction this Saturday, May 15th. United States Liquidators is auctioning original works of art by Pablo Picasso, Miro, Raul Dufy, Maurice Utrillo, Camille Pizarro, Louis Eichardt, H. Behrens, Tarquet, H. Claude, and Paul-Emile Pizarro, Anne Duvernac, Chimo, Mario Sever, and more. Original bronze sculptures by Angelo Basso and Erte. Pencil signed Picasso, Chagall, Miro, Dali, and others. Over 200 Armani, Yadro, Hummel, and Satini figurines. Over 200 lots of fine jewelry. Large certified diamond solitaires, 2 to 9 carats. Rolex Presidentials, Cartier, Patek Philippe, Piaget, and others. Masterpiece handmade rugs, Tabriz, Isfahan, Hermann, Aris, and more. All to be offered at auction this Saturday, May 15th in the Naples Beach Hotel and Golf Club. Preview at noon. Starts at 1 p.m. Most items sold with no minimum and no reserve. For information, 1-800-738-6790.
Wink News this morning, your number one choice for morning traffic.
And we got some breaking news to tell you about.
First, to bring you live pictures.
Some semi-truck has flipped over.
First, to inform you of morning traffic delays. Complete traffic updates before you head to work. Another reason why Wink News this morning is first for you. It's a sure bet that poker is packing local casinos with a full house. Wink News takes a look at what's making poker so popular. Coming up Monday, only on Wink News at 6. Start your day with Patrick Comer, Stacey Adams, and Marisa Oaks on Wink News this morning. First, with breaking news.
Traffic is at a standstill this morning.
First, with overnight news.
Here's a look at what's happened while you were asleep.
first with weather.
You can expect to see plenty of sunshine.
Wake up to a new morning with a team you can trust to get you going fast. Wink News this morning, only on Southwest Florida's News Leader.
Hey, Daryl.
Fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe?
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you on the Guy James Show. Gee whiz, a little less than an hour to go, and we've got a lot to talk about. So let's just get back at it. You know, I was starting to talk before the news at the top of the hour about the little difference in tone I've noticed lately. The desperation seems to me starting to set in. Have you noticed a different tone from the right-wingers lately? I have. And I have to say I'm enjoying every minute of it. A year and a half ago or so, these people were so arrogant and cocky, they were openly calling anyone who opposed them traitors and anti-American. You all remember that, right? We were all accused of that. But now that the White House gang has been totally, well, they've been totally exposed for the fools that they are. And now that those of us who predicted the terrible outcome of Bush's war have been proven to be absolutely correct with our predictions about the Middle East mess, they seem to be slinking back into their holes. That doesn't mean they've given up, however, and in their desperation, they become meaner than ever. I've noticed the change. No one enjoys being made to look the fool. And have you ever seen a group of people look more foolish than the zombie followers of this White House gang right now? Face it, you'd have to look around for quite a while to find a group of approximately 50 million voters who've been taken in so badly. Can you think of a time in American history when an administration has been so successful in pulling the wool over people's eyes? Not in my lifetime. Never in my lifetime has a political leader lied and misled his followers in a blatant manner and gotten away with it like these Bush people. Man, you got to wonder about that 29% who still think. Imagine that. There's still approximately 3 out of 10 people who still think that Bush's war has been worth it. But I guess it's that 29% that I'm talking about here, that 29% that wouldn't admit that Bush was a loser no matter what he does. It doesn't matter what he does, they wouldn't admit he's a loser. But Bush is, well, I liken it to kind of like a sandcastle administration. It's slowly crumbling around him, and the tide's coming in and washing it away. And, you know, it would have been different if he'd have pulled off a Watergate caper or maybe a, maybe a Monica event and had the whole castle fall down all at once. But this drip, 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 drip erosion of his administration has to really, really be painful to those poor, misguided people that are still with him. It's got to be like being slowly tortured. Imagine how bad it must feel. Imagine how foolish you would feel right now if you'd fallen for all the White House gang's lies about invading Iraq. Imagine how you'd feel if someone you really believed in swore to you that there were weapons of mass destruction and you found out later there weren't any. Well, imagine how you'd feel if your leader swore to you that the Iraqi people would welcome our army with open arms and you found out the opposite to be true and 80% of them hate our guts and want us out of their country right now. Imagine how you'd feel if you voted for a guy like Bush and he totally squandered the lives of just about 800 Americans and maybe 10,000 Iraqis, totally needlessly. I hate to tell those 29% that I told you so, but I did. A lot of us did. In fact, millions of us did. And actually, hundreds of millions around the world warned about this disaster. But you were too mesmerized by the good and decent White House gang to see the forest for the trees. It was always just so clear. It was so clear that this administration was lying about the Iraqi situation. How could you not have seen that? The entire Arab world warned of terrible increased violence in the Middle East if we invaded Iraq. What'd they do? They'd do it anyway. You know, ordinarily I wouldn't harbor such feelings about a bunch of liars because, after all, liars such as these are nothing more than the dirty underbelly of society. But this White House gang is a different matter. They exist only for themselves, and their mission in life is to exploit the masses and lie, cheat, and steal their way into power no matter what it takes. You know, I can't believe that that's not painfully obvious to the people that continue to back them. Even the plethora of right-wing talk show hosts have gotten desperate. Just listen to them. They've shifted into overdrive. I think Hannity's going to blow a gasket. You know, they're going faster and faster with their lies and their irrational attacks on liberals. You know, Limbaugh's statements about the prison abuses in Iraq they're the machinations of a madman. But then, you know, being in a drug-induced stupor does that to a person. And Hannity, man, that guy's gone off the deep end with his attacks on Kerry, and anyone who doesn't march in lockstep with that White House gang is just public enemy number one to Hannity. You know, I want everybody to remember this. Desperate people are dangerous people. So I urge all of you to keep your guard up. But, you know, one cannot overstate the downright meanness of these people. Every time I think of that bizarre scene, and I want you to remember this, that bizarre scene during the 2000 election debacle of the right-wing crazies marching outside of the vice presidential mansion in Washington chanting, "Get out of Cheney's house." I'm reminded of just what a truly nasty bunch this is. And I'm talking nasty. Real nasty. And it's going to get nastier, folks. The closer we get to Election Day, and the more they understand that their administration is going to be swept out the door, the meaner and nastier it's going to get, and they won't stop at anything. We're going to go to Charles of Sanibel. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy. I'm liking your program. Your monologue was incredible because I was just talking to my father about the fact that the Republicans and people in particular that listen to people like Rush Limbaugh do not seem to be deep thinkers to me. And in fact, the title for themselves proves that. Ditto heads. They don't think for themselves. They're lemmings. That's another word for it. And it's amazing the arrogance that the Republican Party even has with their own constituents. In other words, they'll get up and they'll say something, and they know that just the statement alone, they'll go along with it. For instance, this latest atrocity, Daniel Berg's execution. Bush gets on television. He says, "We will track these people down. We will bring them to justice." I believe he said that about Osama bin Laden about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And
got a lot of bravado.
Exactly. And it's shocking to me that people don't wake up to this fact. You've got thousands of middle class citizens, millions of middle class citizens that honestly believe that by them voting Republican, it somehow makes them more patriotic. I don't understand that. To follow what one person says, or to what a small group of what people say, that's less patriotic.
It is. It is, in fact. And it's amazing how many people will go to the polls after having listened to exclusively to Limbaugh and Fox News and go cast their ballot for President of the United States, not knowing any other any other thoughts on the subject whatsoever. It fascinates me.
Well, Bush is their perfect spokesman because I don't believe he's a deep thinker.
No.
He's told what to say. He gets up and he says it, and they just walk lockstep behind him. And he's perfect for them. He's a perfect figurehead.
If you're gonna do a puppet show, you couldn't have come up with a better puppet than him. And old Dick Cheney's been pulling the strings on him. It's obvious.
Carl Rove.
Exactly. Rove's writing the script, and Cheney's pulling the strings. And anybody that can't see that's just not dealing with reality. Charles, I thank you so much for your call, and I thank you for listening to the program. I do very much appreciate it. Hey, before I take any more calls, I do want to let you know. I've got sources in Washington. I've been around in Washington. I've got a relative that I've told you before had a very nice position in the past administration. Democrat, by the way. I better say that. And I thought you might be interested to hear, after my nosing around this week, and I did a lot of nosing around this week, I wanted you to hear what my Capitol Hill sources have told me. I did a lot of phone calls this week to Capitol Hill. And I'm hearing some pretty amazing things from people who know the score in Washington. Very amazing thing. First of all, I have it on very good authority that many of the Republican senators and House members are quietly saying behind the scenes, of course, that they would be willing to sacrifice the White House in order to keep control of the House and Senate. They're figuring it this way. They throw Bush to the wolves because he's become an embarrassment to many of even the most hardcore conservatives, and they're afraid that because of the way things are going, the Republican Congress will be blamed if they continue to give Bush their unwavering support. So they're willing to break ranks with Bush. Kerry then becomes president, and because Bush has left the White House in such a huge mess, they don't think Kerry will be able to repair the damage, and so the 2006 midterms come along, and it'll be very favorable to the Republicans running for Congress, and then with solid control of the Congress, they'll be able to work toward electing a more sensible Republican to the White House. That all makes sense, doesn't it? It does to me. Yes, they really do think that way, and they really do think that far away. You'd be kidding yourself if you didn't know that. You must know that although many Republican congressmen in public appear to back Bush's every move, behind the scenes, they're talking up a storm to each other about what a stone he is hanging around their neck. I mean, there's some pretty prominent Republicans right now, and I know staffers, I know Republican and Democratic staffers, that, you know, they're talking. When they get together in the cafeteria or down the halls at the water cooler, they're talking, and that's what's going around. And so if you want to do anything to worry or upset a United States senator or a congressman, just put some doubt in his or her mind about getting reelected. They don't give a damn about the presidency. I mean, they want to get reelected. And I guarantee that'll get their attention every time. And most of us just can't imagine what a tremendous aphrodisiac political power and influence is, believe me. Just threaten to kick them off the old gravy train and they'll do anything you want, and that's a fact. I've been to the halls of Congress many, many times, and I've seen what that absolutely heady atmosphere does to people, and it's no wonder they don't want to give it up. Just remember the three P's when you're talking about Congress: power, prestige, and perks. And, buddy, I want to tell you, that's what it's all about for most of them. And they have to be dragged kicking and screaming from those high-profile positions. So Bush has to be sacrificed, so be it, in their opinion. And if the choice is between keeping their congressional seats or saying bye-bye to Bush, the Bush for them is easy. So long, GWB. And I'm also told that the Republicans in the Senate, some of you may know about this already, but it is an absolute fact that the Republicans in the Senate hung John Kerry out to dry on that unemployment vote this week. You know how it passed, it failed by just one vote, and everybody said, Kerry's out campaigning, see, that's what cost you guys that vote. That is absolutely a lie. They knew their majority was safe, and they knew Kerry wasn't going to be there, so they had some of their membership vote with the Democrats, just to make it look like Kerry lost the vote for the Democrats by not being there. If Kerry had been there, they would have lost by half a dozen votes. But that's what they do to each other, and they had that all planned to do that to John Kerry. Actually, John Kerry not being there had nothing to do with losing that vote, so don't kid yourself. We're going to go to Bob and Kate Coral. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy. How you doing today? Good to talk to you again. Hey, Guy, I really believe this is Kerry's election to lose. What do you think?
I agree. I heard somebody say something the other day that I'd never really thought of it this way, and I can't remember which one of the pundits said it, but they said, 80% of every presidential election is not about the opponent, it's about the incumbent. And, it's all about Bush. We know all about Bush. We know his every move. We know what his record is. We know what his stance is on everything. And he's the high profile. He's on the news, God knows how many times every day, and Kerry isn't. So Kerry just has to be smart, in my opinion. He just has to be smart. Now, I'm disappointed, and as I said last week, I'm disappointed with the fervor and the fire in the campaign so far. But I've kind of been assured this week that it'll come.
Do you think Kerry's just given him enough rope to hang himself? Because Kerry has been doing is sitting back and relaxing, and Bush has just given him enough ammunition on his own. He hasn't really said anything against Bush, but Bush is just hurting himself.
Well, this past couple of weeks, he hadn't had to say anything, has he? I mean, Bush has been cooperating nicely if you wanted him to hang himself, because there's just been one one nail in the coffin after another. Just it never seems to end. I'd really like to know. I don't have anybody inside the White House right now, so I don't know what the mood is, but I sure would love to know the real feelings of them back in the Situation Room when they get together and talk all this over. I'd love to know the real feelings going on in that White House right now.
No, I agree with you, too. And also, what do you think about the chances of McCain actually becoming a VP nominee with Kerry? Do you think that's a possibility, or is just smoke and mirrors?
Well,
you think he would actually do it?
You and everybody else will probably hang me with this because we archive our shows, and you can always go back and hear what I say. But I'm saying the chances of that is zero.
Zero, huh?
That's what I think.
Well, the thing is, they both agree on so many, you know, so many things. I would just think he would be a great, great nominee for the Democratic ticket. But you know, will he do that?
And don't let anybody kid you. They both have the same opinion of George W. Bush.
Oh. Exactly. I mean, look what he did in South Carolina to McCain. I mean, same thing like you had mentioned earlier about what he did to Cleveland. It was exactly the same thing, and I would think that this would be a great payback for McCain to be on the Democratic ticket.
Oh, if I were McCain, I couldn't resist it.
Oh, me neither. And real quick, I just wanted to about Jim Watkins. He had mentioned earlier about they had found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Did you hear anything about that? That they actually found weapons of mass destruction there?
You know, all you have to say in regard to that is, if they had been found, don't you think the people at the White House would have those suckers flown in and they display them on the front yard of the White House?
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. It reminds me of when the Drudge Report came out about the. When Kerry had supposedly had the affair
right.
with his one of his interns, and just like, you know, they just throw things out there and see what will stick, and sooner or later, you know, they're hoping that the American people will just fall for it.
Oh, as you know, that's what you get when you go to like Newsmax.com and Drudge and some of those. You get this disinformation, and you know they're shoveling it pretty deep right now. Oh yes, we found WMDs and we know where they're at. They're in Syria, but don't kid yourself, anybody. If they had a inkling of where there any WMDs were right now, those babies would be out in the open, and
you'd
have a photo op of Bush standing on top of them saying, "Look here, what I found."
Exactly. Do you believe what Hillary said though, that there is a right wing conspiracy that they just gonna throw everything out there and see what will stick? And
I believed that a long time before Hillary ever said it, believe me.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for your call. Very, very good call. We're going to go to, we're going to go to Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Good hearing from you, Guy. I heard what you said about the right-wingers getting desperate. Let me tell you how desperate they're getting. We got a little bitty newspaper down here. Itsy bitsy. And maybe the circulation's 1,000. They're writing, okay, people, we got to do something because all the anti-Bush people who are anti-American, like on Democrats Underground and Bart Cop, are going to make hay of this. Well, I took issue with this because I knew the editor. And I wrote him one hot letter. And I said, look, just because people post on Democrats Underground or Bart Cop does not make them anti-American. You know me. You follow me around with the camera and a mic.
Right.
And so it didn't take 24 hours. He emailed me back. Oh, I apologize, Manny, for your legitimate complaint. And so I expect that letter to appear where I blasted him. And now I had to get local and vocal. I was getting national and statewide, but now I really had to get, we're talking 4 miles up the road, local and vocal.
Well, you know what? Chip O'Neill said all politics is local.
It really is, and it's getting local. And, and I tell you, Rich Lowry, I don't know if you caught him this week.
No, I didn't.
I tried to get into C-SPAN so bad and say, well, if you're so hot for this war, you're about the right age. Why aren't you over there?
Yeah.
You know, these chicken hawks, my Lord have mercy. You know, they scream patriotism, and I called the DNC this week, and they told me that they had, you know, I had sent them a copy of that CD, and it passed around. Good news was they had passed it on to Senator Kerry, so hoping he'll get a little passion in his voice, which he seems to be having now. He seems to be fighting pretty good.
Well, you know, someone, I got a lot of email after my little diatribe last week about the Kerry campaign, and I stand by every word I said. I still do.
I do, too.
But I got a lot of email from Kerry people and saying that he's playing rope-a-dope right now, like old Cassius Clay used to or Muhammad Ali. He's just kind of sitting back and letting Bush throw all of his punches, and when he's dead tired from throwing those punches, he's going to step in and knock him out. So
I hope so, because he's going to let him spend his war chest on damage control, because you can't control this kind of damage. I mean, we have sunk to a whole new low, people. I mean, a whole new low. And it doesn't go with just those privates and sergeants. In fact, you know, they're going to be the scapegoats, or they're going to, they're going to try and make them the scapegoats. And don't get me wrong, I think it was absolutely deplorable. But those people didn't walk in there with dogs. They got them from somewhere,
Yep.
I mean, and I think it's absolutely deplorable. I think it's horrible. And then Rush Limbaugh, I really think they ought to be bringing, you know what I really think? I think they ought to bring he people like Bush Cheney, of course. To me, they're a threat to our national security.
Hey, let's play this Rush Limbaugh thing, okay? You got a second?
Yeah, I got a second.
Secretary Rumsfeld called the torture of Iraqis sadistic, cruel.
Fundamentally un-American.
But here's what Rush Limbaugh said.
This is no different than what happens at the Skull and Bones initiation.
I'm talking about people having a good time. These people, you ever heard of emotional release? You ever heard of need to blow some steam off?
This is the most listened to political commentator in America? Read more at MediaMatters.org.
That's the ad, the TV ad, and that's the audio off the TV ad that they refuse to air in Washington, D.C. because they don't want to embarrass Mr. Limbaugh.
Ah! Yeah. I am not believing that.
Oh,
Ever
yeah.
heard of a release and what was done in our name? In our name?
Just a little release, just having a good time.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I tell you what, these people are a threat to our national security, and you're right. I remember what you said last week. If we had a balanced Congress, they would be so, as Donald Trump said, you're fired.
Oh.
They would be so out of the door.
No doubt about it. That would, if it was balanced, it would embolden some of the conscientious Republicans, and they'd be impeaching his hind end right now.
Oh, yeah. And I hope people remember who stood up and who did not stand up. It looks to me like Chuck Hagel, he's getting a little fed up, too.
Yep.
Chuck Hagel, and you got Lugar, and you got, McCain. I'm with you. 0% chance of McCain going for VP. But I'll tell you what, we don't know who he's going in there voting for, do we?
No, we don't.
To me, when he goes in there, he could close those curtains or hit that touch screen and hit Kerry big as life, and we wouldn't know it.
Oh,
but, of course, we can count on Ozell. Ozell's going to vote. So
oh, yeah. Oh,
he's
yeah.
going to vote for... For Bush. No, I'm thoroughly disgusted. In fact, every day, I don't think it can get any worse than every day it does. But you keep up the good work, Guy. And people, please support this program, because I'm going to tell you something. It's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you a personal story. I have a 35-year-old son who lost his business, who literally pulled his own tooth on Mother's Day. And, we tried to get a doctor. You can't get a dentist. You can't get a doctor. And if you have no insurance, you're just out there. That's one case that I know of. I know of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with no insurance. And, in this, we're not a third world country.
Well,
this really, yeah.
In some
respects. I'm
sorry,
Jack just spoke up and said, yeah.
In some respects, we are.
Yeah, you're right. In some respects, we are. But, you made a statement, too, a while ago. You said desperate people are dangerous people. So are people who claim their omissions from God.
Yeah.
Those
always scare me.
They scare me. If anybody has never watched, and I, the Jack Van Impe show, and I have watched it. And he says that he gives advice to Condoleezza Rice. Well, these people are trying to bring on in what they do. The end times, as they want to call it, Armageddon.
Yeah, well, personally, I can wait for it.
Well, yeah, Well, it personally is not up to them.
No,
you know? You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and that definitely should not be in. These kind of people should not be talking to national security.
Well, they're trying to nudge it along a little bit. Now, in some ways, I think they are by inflaming the entire Arab world. I think they are. Amanda, thanks so much for your call.
Good talking to you.
I do appreciate it.
And good. People, keep those contributions coming in.
You know, I did say that they're starting to crack, and I'm seeing divisions amongst the right wingers. I've even heard from some conservatives lately that they believe they're good. Decent, moral, chosen by God leader Junior Bush has been manipulated. Now follow me here. If you're on the right and you believe Bush has been manipulated, you need to look in the mirror because you have been manipulated too. If you rely on Fox News and Newsmax and the Weekly Standard and the Wall Street Journal editorial page for your news about the Iraq War, you're propagandized as much as the citizens of Nazi Germany during the Hitler reign. You are. That's what propaganda is all about, people. And if you're a true conservative, then you have been totally fooled because this White House gang is definitely not conservative. You know, if you're a student of history, then you'll recognize this gang as being similar to the Jacobins during the French Revolution. Remember them? Tried to take over the government, kind of a right-wing gang. I just can't decide which one of the three main characters here, whether it's Wolfowitz, Cheney, or Rumsfeld, which one of them is masquerading as Robespierre. You know, nothing about them is conservative. They just duped the entire traditional conservative gang into going along with their radical agenda, and radical it is. And before this war ever started, a blind man could see it was going to be a huge mistake. You know, one Middle East expert after another predicted the tragic events of present-day Iraq, but the White House gang failed to listen to a single one of them. You know, what person with half a functioning brain would have said that the Arab community wouldn't be outraged because of us walking in and invading and occupying Iraq? Who wouldn't have predicted that? But now, you know, now they look like complete and utter fools because of their failed Iraqi policy. The true neocons are blaming Bush and Rumsfeld for not being forceful enough. People like Mike Savage, Bill Kristol, and others, they're insinuating that Bush and Rumsfeld are a couple of wimps, not being tough enough. You know, just listen to the right-wing radio screwballs tell you day after day that when those of us on the left describe the true situation in Iraq, we're committing treason. They're saying that. Believe me when I tell you that a considerable number of these people would nuke Baghdad, Iran, and Syria in a minute if they had a chance. You know they would. You've heard them talk about it. They'd have those nukes out of the shed right now, believe me. How many times have you heard when this war started and all, let's make it turn Baghdad into a parking lot? Folks, these people believe in that stuff. They do. You know, that's what we're dealing with here. We've got a bunch of radical, insane extremists influencing our decisions in the Middle East, and I don't know about you, but the thought of them gaining any more clout with the Bush administration is absolutely frightening. You know, this guy's just dumb enough to go along with them, and if he starts to see that his reelection chances are dwindling, if he knows he can get all the redneck yahoos on his side by dropping a nuke, he'll do it. After all, that's the only way we could win a total military victory in that area of the world. We don't have enough troops to do it with conventional methods unless we reinstate the draft, of course. And if we do that, how many of their kids will get drafted? I think we know the answer to that one, don't we? You know, folks, these are dangerous people. They're dangerous to our country. They're dangerous to the rest of the world. In poll after poll, citizens of other countries around the world have named the United States of America as the number one threat to the world. Right now, I'm not so sure I don't agree with them. I hate what's going on right now. I really do. Hey, it's about time for Republican Love. We got the orchestra all ready for Republican Love. We got them warmed up. Got a few letters this week. As you know, we get mail. And I'm just going to give you an abbreviated version of Republican Love this week. These are letters we get from our right-wing friends. And I want you to turn the lights down low. Feel the love. Puppy love, I call it. First letter starts out, you are a heathen. You are a heathen and a liar. And there's nothing worse than being those two things. Well, well, well. You said some terrible things about our president, and your station should pull your show for your comments. You must think you're as good as Hannity and Rush and G. Gordon and O'Reilly and Neil Bortz. Well, I got news for you. You don't compare to them. Well, you know, I agree with you on that point. My show doesn't compare to theirs. It's actually a whole lot better. Truth is always more interesting than fiction, and that's what you're getting on a lot of those programs. Starting off the next letter, starts right in, surely you don't believe the things you say on the air. Well, the fact is I do, or I wouldn't say them. Unlike Rush Limbaugh, the OxyContin King, I don't prostitute myself and say things I couldn't possibly believe just for money. Letter goes on, does your station manager know what you talk about? Well, yes, he does. He does. He doesn't necessarily agree with me, but he does know what I say. Letter says, you tell so many lies, it's hard to keep up with them. Well, I noticed you forgot to mention any of the lies, like they always do. You call in and say, you're a liar, but they don't tell you anything you lied about. Of course, in this case, they could not. The letter finishes up by saying, all you are trying to do is cut down our great president, but you can't do it. Oh, yes, I can. It's actually pretty easy. He's given me plenty of ammo, that's for sure. Next letter. I noticed last week that just about all you did was talk negatively about President Bush. You didn't say much at all about Kerry. Well, I do take exception to that statement. I recall holding Kerry's feet to the fire concerning his limp campaign. The letter goes on to say, but you couldn't stop talking about President Bush. Why? Well, now that's easy. A while back, I had a caller complain I didn't talk about President Bush's record. So, I always keep my word on the program. I pledge to do all I can from now on to let everybody know exactly what Bush's record is all about. I promise to promote Bush's record so that everyone listening would know exactly where Bush stood on every issue. And I think I'm doing a good job of it. Next letter. Mr. Punk-Ass James. Don't think I've been called that before. Biz, have I ever been called Punk-Ass James before?
No, but I'm starting to think we should just keep a running tally of all the names that you have been called, because I'm getting confused and losing track now.
Well, that one's pretty good. Punk
yeah,
ass
I kind of like that one. Can we keep that one?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
It gives you, like, street cred.
Yeah. the letter goes on to say, you think you have the right to talk bad about President Bush? Well, actually, yes, I do think I have the right to talk about him any way I please, and you do as well. He goes on to say, someone ought to come down there and make you eat that microphone after some of the things you say about the president. Oh, no. I mean, no thanks. I'm on a special diet, and it doesn't include, what do we got here, aluminum and heavy metal, copper wire and rubber. No, I don't think so. Okay, he goes on to say, you bastard libs are all the same. All you do is complain, complain, complain. When is the last time you heard conservatives complaining about the president? Well, let me tell you, behind the scenes, I'm hearing I'm hearing plenty of it. And as far as about this president, and as far as conservatives complaining about a president, I seem to recall a little thing about Ken Starr and Monica Gate and all that thing. I don't think they shut up for 8 years. And he finishes up the letter. Now, this is a nice sentiment. Brings a tear to my eye. All you liberal media guys should go to hell. Well, you know. And just one short letter, the last one is, and I kind of have to censor this one a little bit, but I thought it was a little bit creative. It's just like three sentences, I guess. What a wimp you are. I write you a couple of emails and you quit writing back. You really are an effing chicken. Okay, well, I guess he's not happy. I guess that's the thing. And thus ends the Republican love segment from the week. My goodness. Feel the love. Don't you just feel it? You know, I get goosebumps when I'm reading those letters. I get all misty. And I just know these people do love me. And, you know, they say things that are a little bit unkind, but I know in their hearts they know I'm right. And, well, anyway. Hey, someone sent me a great note. Well, Steve. Steve right here in Fort Myers sent me a little note here about it's hard to be a Republican in 2004. And I like this. And so I've got to read you just a little bit of it. If you're a Republican in 2004, somehow you have to believe that Jesus loves you and shares your hatred of homosexuals and Hillary Clinton. Somehow you have to believe that the United States should get out of the United Nations and our highest national priority is enforcing UN resolutions against Iraq. Amen, brother. It's hard to be a Republican in 2004. Somehow you have to believe that standing tall for America means firing your workers and moving your jobs to India. Somehow you have to believe that a woman can't be trusted with decisions about her own body, but multinational corporations can make decisions affecting all mankind without regulation. Somehow you have to believe, if you're a Republican in 2004, that being a drug addict is a moral failing and a crime, unless you're a conservative radio host, then it's an illness and you need our prayers for your recovery. Did you hear that, Rush? Number six, somehow you have to believe that the best way to improve military morale is to praise the troop in speeches while slashing veterans' benefits and combat pay. If you're going to be a Republican in 2004, you have to believe that group sex and drug use are degenerate sins unless you someday run for governor of California as a Republican. Oh, I like that one. Let's see. If you're going to be a Republican in 2004, you have to believe that if condoms are kept out of school, adolescents won't have sex. That's a fact. You have to believe a good way to fight terrorism is to belittle our longtime allies and then demand their cooperation and money. Oh, yeah, this guy knows. Number 10, you have to believe that HMOs and insurance companies have the interest of the public at heart. Oh, yes. Let's see here. You have to believe that global warming and tobacco's link to cancer are junk science, but creationism should be taught in schools. If you're a Republican in 2004, you have to believe it's okay that the Bush family has done millions of dollars worth of business with the Bin Laden family. You have to believe that Saddam was a good guy when Reagan armed him, a bad guy when Bush's daddy made war on him, a good guy when Cheney did business with him, and a bad guy when Bush needed a We Can't Find Bin Laden diversion. You have to believe that a president lying about an extramarital affair is an impeachable offense. But a president lying to enlist support for a war in which thousands die is solid defense policy. This goes on for quite a little bit, but, man, I'll tell you, it's true words. It really is. We're going to go right now to John in Fort Myers. And, John, I understand you want to talk about gasoline prices.
Yeah, and I'm in Cape Coral.
Oh, in Cape Coral.
The biggest city in southwest Florida for those who are across this country, so they recognize it. Fort Myers is a little town near us.
That's a fact.
People don't know it, but that is fact. I just came back from taking a trip up to Sarasota, and it impressed me. I'm seeing gas prices anywhere from $2 to $2.11. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, the prices have jumped 10 and 20 cents a gallon. I don't know if you've noticed the same.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been gone hog wild. But, you know, this is a president who, when he ran for office and gas prices were back then getting a little high, he said he'd go over and talk to those Saudis and get to, you know, talk them in, you know, because they're friends of his and all, and get the gas prices down. Gee, I guess he hadn't talked to them much lately.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I also noticed that all the other prices and inflation is going up. The stock market is going down. And I heard George W. Bush say the economy is doing very well. And I got to tell you, I'm not too bright, and I need some help from a talk show host. I mean, I heard them calling you names before, but maybe you can elucidate me. I don't know if the names apply or not, because I find you very intelligent, and you're going to explain to me how this economy is doing so well when so much extra money is coming out of my pocketbook.
You know, that is an amazing thing. Your property taxes are going up. Your gasoline taxes and your gasoline prices are going up to the people up north.
Milk prices.
Their heating oil went up this year and up north. Costs for the schools are going up. In many states, sales.
Yeah, I mean, they're running school buses on this, and they can't afford to run the school buses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain to me, how is this economy improving? How is this helping every listener out there that the economy is going up and the Republicans have done such a great job? I mean, I know I've heard it, but I just simply fail to understand it.
It's, you know, unfortunately, it's, as some of us like to say, that tinkle down economy that doesn't quite work. It's just not tinkling down. The top 1 or 2 or 5% of the people are doing real well right now. Stock market recovered a little bit, and their portfolios went back up again. But the average guy out in the street paying $35-40 to fill up his gas tank, paying increased property taxes, and just got to get another job to pay for the increased property taxes, and the school costs are going up because people that got kids in school can't afford it anymore. The schools are passing on the cost of books and everything else. You know, we're all getting part-time jobs while the people, if there are any available, and the people at the top are enjoying the lap of luxury right now. You know, there's probably, John, and you know this very well, living in the area we live in, there's probably no place in the country where there's such a stark difference between the haves and the have-nots as there is right here in the area where we live.
But a lot of these have-nots think they are great Republicans, and that's what I fail to understand. And they have such loyalty to this Republican administration that is killing them in their wallets.
You know, John, if somebody could explain that to me, I'd be all ears.
Well, you know, Mr. Watkins had an interesting description. Mr. Watkins, for the rest of your people out there, is a local conservative talk show host on some of these very stations. And his comment sort of shattered me this week. I don't know if you heard it.
No.
But he said every liberal he's known, and that's every liberal, is a pot smoker. And the reason they're liberal is because they're mellow because they smoke pot. I know it doesn't include me, and I don't know, and I have a feeling a lot of us who may not agree with the Republican group, it was one of the most amazing statements that I ever heard one of these right-wing talk show hosts make.
Did he say whether or not we all inhaled or not?
Well, I guess he sort of implied it.
That's a pretty broad statement.
I mean, it was absolutely one of the most outstanding statements I've ever heard on talk radio. I had exhausted my once-a-week call because he has a limit to liberal callers. We're not supposed to call once a week, and I even called him twice this week to kill it. Hmm. You know, he only wants to hear from the right-wing people more than once.
Well, so we all smoke pot. Well, I'm going to have to talk to him about that. In fact, when I leave today, I'm going to have to leave a note on his desk about that.
Now, I mean, you're not smoking pot as you do this show, I'm sure. And a lot of us listening are not smoking pot, and we don't have to be pot smokers. To like Mr. Kerry, I mean, he said because we're mellow and because we believe in these things, that's why we're liberal. That was the statement being made. And I thought, what a statement being made. What, you know, the slurring of anybody who doesn't think their way is out there, and
well,
it just really floors me until the way these people think. And we're not supposed to feel, I guess maybe because we're all allegedly pot smokers, we're not supposed to feel what's happening in our wallets.
I guess not. Hey, John, thanks.
Anyway, thanks for the
thanks
time.
Thanks for your call. My gosh, we're all pot smokers. Here, let me read you a little statement. I want to read you a statement right here. I got this off the Daily Kos, a very popular website. And I quote, "The arrogance, inconsistency, and unreliability of the administration's diplomacy have undermined American alliances, alienated friends, and emboldened our adversaries. Gerrymandered congressional districts are an affront to democracy and an insult to the voters. We oppose that and any other attempt to rig the electoral process." And see, the last paragraph says, "Nor should the intelligence community be made the scapegoat for political misjudgments. A Republican administration working with the Congress will respect the needs and quiet sacrifices of these public servants as it strengthens Americans' intelligence and counterintelligence capability and reorients them toward the dangers of the future." Guess where that came from? The 2000 Republican platform. Hard to believe. Really hard to believe. Hey, right now I want to talk about some friends of the show. The McIntosh Bookstore. You know, there is nothing like a neighborhood bookstore. Some of the big guys tried to recreate them or minimize them. Even the Internet tries desperately to create a virtual copy, but neither one comes close. One of our favorites is the oldest bookstore on beautiful Sanibel Island, the McIntosh Bookstore. It's a genuine old-fashioned neighborhood bookstore, a store that in too many towns is now only part of the museum's historic exhibit. But on Sanibel, it's a real, thriving, not virtual, a flesh-and-blood store. McIntosh is operated by Jim Dowling, a lifetime student of literature, a young fellow who's as unique as the store itself. And the first step inside tells you this is someplace special. Maybe it's the aroma of the old wooden floors and first-edition books, or maybe it's the wide variety of titles and subjects to choose from. And also nestled on those old shelves are the latest books on both sides of the political debate. You can find authors of current progressive writings as well as those on the other side of the fence. Currently, for our listeners, he's carrying Molly Ivinson, Al Franken, and Michael Moore, and Jim Hightower, and others. And there's also bestsellers for easy summer reading, children's books, gifts and cards, and McIntosh is the place for books on nature, birding, and shelling. When you can't find it anywhere else, you can usually get it at McIntosh. You can order online at www.sanibelbooks.com. Stop by, even if you don't buy anything. You're always welcome to come in and take a look at a real bookstore. That's the McIntosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way, Sanibel Island, Florida.
For all of our computer-savvy Internet listeners out there, this is a message for you. The Guy James Show is in need of a dedicated Democratic website manager to join us in promoting our cause. Become part of the Guy James team and help make a difference on the national scene. Got your pen and paper ready? Send us an email to guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com if you are up to the task or are interested in more details. Again, that address is guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. And now, back to Guy.
Thank you, Biz. And we hope you do remember that and remember to help out on that. And also, we're a listener-supported program. For those of you listening locally, you can find our mailing address at www.theguyjamesshow.com. Always glad to hear from you, and we heard from so many people this week. You know, had somebody on the Internet ask to play this statement by Mike Savage again. I guess they didn't believe it the first time, so I'm going to play it again for you. You know, remember, this guy stands for what the right wing really stands for. This guy does right here. Sooner or later he does.
And I think there should be no mercy shown to these subhumans. I believe that 1,000 of them should be killed tomorrow. I think 1,000 of them held in the Iraqi prison should be given a 24-hour trial and executed. I think they need to be shown that we are not going to roll over to them. It won't happen. It won't happen because of the CBS communists. And it won't happen because of the CNN traitors.
No mercy.
It won't happen because of the MSNBC empty heads. Instead of putting joysticks, I would like to have seen dynamite put in their orifices, and they should be dropped from airplanes. How's that? You like that one? Go call somebody that you want to report me to, see if I care. They should put dynamite in their behinds and drop them from 35,000 feet, the whole pack of scum out of that jail. Thank you, CBS. Thank you, New Yorker. Thank you, Carl Levin. Thank you, Ted Kennedy. Thank you, Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
Secretary Rumsfeld called the torture of Iraqis sadistic, cruel,
fundamentally un-American.
But here's what Rush Limbaugh said.
This is no different than what happens at the Skull and Bones initiation.
I'm talking about people having a good time. These people, you ever heard of emotional release? You ever heard of need to blow some steam off?
This is the most listened to political commentator in America? Read more at MediaMatters.org.
Yeah, Biz just told me that Rush makes it sound like going down to the pub for a beer after work. That's all the more serious he took that. It's amazing to me that these people can think that way. We're Americans. Our country has always stood for decency. Sometimes people in our name have committed some indecent acts, and that's what's happened now. It's the acts of a few. But it cannot, in a society like ours, be swept under the carpet and forgotten. That's not how we operate. We try and be transparent about all of our sins that we commit in a war. You know, one has to think back to the My Lai massacre in Vietnam. We put that out for the public to see. It was a horrible chapter in the U.S. military. But stop and think about all the good things our military people, and stop and think about how good and decent and honorable the intentions are of so many of our military people, the great majority of our military people over the years, great military leaders that we've had over the years. Not people who are sadistic and deviant and bent upon committing terrible acts like these people have. Make no mistake about it. They are terrible. Anybody that would minimize the acts that took place in these prisons is a fool. He doesn't have his eyes open. I don't care how much you hate somebody. I don't care, you know, if they think the Iraqi people are nothing but animals. We treat animals better than those people were treated, many of them. And don't forget the fact that many of these people are in that prison and haven't been found guilty of anything. They released a whole 315 of them yesterday or today, and they're going to release another 500 or so next week. People that haven't been convicted of a damn thing. And so to have people representing the United States of America commit these atrocities, these despicable acts, and yet we have people like Rush Limbaugh saying it was just some innocent fun. It was not innocent fun. Damn it, you will not do those sort of things in my name. You will not do those things in the name of my country. And I don't know who's responsible for it at this point. If it goes on up the ladder, if it goes on up the chain of command, they've got a clean house. You know, Rumsfeld the other day said that he'd take responsibility for everything. Well, he needs to. No one in this administration has taken responsibility for a damn thing. Nothing. You know how bad this war is going. You know, we always say you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. Well, this war is a pig right now. There's nothing about it that's going right. You know, they complain about the liberal media is not showing all the good we're doing over there. It's because we're not getting a whole lot of good accomplished. It's because we've got almost 800 soldiers killed by now, and it was for nothing. For nothing. All we have done in this war is light a powder keg that's going to bring retribution toward this nation forever and ever. And no, I have not forgotten 9/11. I have not forgotten 9/11 at all. Who can forget it? But Iraq was not responsible for 9/11, and yet these right-wing media outlets have got 60-70% of the people of the United States thinking that Iraq was involved in 9/11 when it just wasn't true. That's the influence of these people. That's how widespread it is. That's how devious they are. And make no mistake about it, George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice bear full responsibility for misleading the American public. That was, you know, that feeling that Iraq was involved, that didn't come about accidentally. Not at all. Hey, we thank you for listening to the program. We're ever so grateful to have you with us every week. Be sure and listen to us again next week. The Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.